Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Greetings.
How are you, my friend?
Good.
Are you? You look like you're in a different room or a new location this time.
It's a new background. I thought I'd try some high-tech stuff.
Nice. That's cool. How's the golf game going?
Not so good today. We're kind of getting washed out. So.
Yeah.
But got in the game yesterday, so it's all good.
That's good. And you, yeah, you play once a week, right?
At least.
Nice, nice. Very cool. And how is your back? Does it affect your back at all with the swing?
No, I kind of went to a different type of golf swing that's really easy on your back. So it's helped a whole bunch.
Oh, cool, cool. Because I know like that's a common thing, right? Like Tiger Wood had back issues, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The guys that really go at it hard have big problems down the road. So,
yeah. And you're not driving the ball quite as far as Tiger, are you?
Not yet, but I'm
that's awesome. And how is everything going for you and your health and your life and everything?
It's all real good, Justin. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
I think I'm starting year number 3 with Morley's RCP and, implemented a few other things along with that, and it all seems to be going well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm glad. Very, very cool. Very cool. That's great. Yeah. Glad to see you. Cause you know, I think I haven't seen you in here for a while. So.
Yeah. I popped in, I think a couple of weeks ago for just a little bit, but I didn't have a chance to say hello or anything, but you had a ton of people on. There was a lot of good conversation going.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I try to offer a good place for people to share, and yeah, I'm glad. That's cool. I'm glad you're here. And so it's going to be getting warm in Houston, right?
It won't be long. Yeah,
won't be long. Yeah. All right. So if anyone has anything they want to chat about, talk about, have questions about, I don't have all the answers, but I've done a lot of research, so I can point you in the right direction. Let's see here. Yeah, if anyone has anything they want to share, feel free to chime in. I see some new people here too that I haven't seen. Oh yeah, Leanne, you're not late, or Shelly, you're not late. Yeah. In fact, I was about two or 3 minutes late.
Hey Justin, how's it going?
Oh, Claudia, great to hear you. How are you?
I know. Well, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. You know, I went back to work, so I don't get to join you guys as much.
Okay.
It's all going good.
How's still work going?
Well, you know, I work virtual, so it's not bad. It's, you know, it can be challenging. Remember, I went back to work as a benefits advocate, and right. It goes against everything that I kind of believe in. So I'm having my moments, and I'm amazingly haven't lost my job yet, because of course I work for a human resources outsourcing company. And so they developing apps to, track vaccination statuses that they're trying to sell to large companies.
Oh, great.
And so of course we're the model company. And so I refused to put my status in there because I don't agree with their policy. You know, if you're unvaccinated, you can't go into the office and meetings and that whole garbage.
Oh, wow.
So I still have not done anything. I've gotten 2 emails from HR, but oh, well.
Wow. It's incredible. It's still going. Now, what state are you in? I forget.
I'm in Texas.
You're in Texas. Is your company based headquarters in Texas?
No, their company, they're based in Illinois is the big corporate office.
Now, do they have to follow the laws of Illinois then?
I don't know what they're doing. I think they're just, you know, they're trying to make money off of developing an app to sell to people. So I really don't know what the deal is.
And so the app is being sold to other companies to track their employees' vaccination statuses?
Correct.
Wow. Wow. What a crazy thing. And then you come along and you're, I can't imagine anyone more like opposite of that mindset. That's crazy.
And our office is in the Woodlands, Texas, which is a little north of Houston, which is right in the middle of an area that I know I'm not the only one.
Right, right. Wow. Golly. So do you have, so now you do all your work virtual and you're getting emails from HR, you said?
Uh-huh.
What do they say to you?
they're saying then and now they push the deadline out until I think I have till this Monday. And if I don't, they are going to classify me as unvaccinated, unwilling, because they told people if you're unwilling to share your status, you need to check unvaccinated, unwilling. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that, because that's telling you I'm unvaccinated and I'm unwilling to be unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm kind of telling you it's none of your business,
right?
Because
right.
It's irrelevant to my job.
Exactly. Especially being virtual, but even so, even if you're not virtual, it has nothing to do. Man, this whole thing is crazy. So what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. They might not mess with me too much because I'm virtual, but you know, you spend a lot of time going through all of this inclusivity and all of this no bias training and treating people fairly and everybody's welcome and we accept everyone. And I said, how can you put me through all that training, yet you're willing to bring all this divisiveness into an office? Oh, you exactly. can't come in and you can't. I said, so it's hypocritical. I don't agree with your policy, so I'm not participating.
Good for you, Claudia. Good for you. Stand strong.
Oh, I absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you have a strong will anyway, so, but that's great. I'm glad. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, yeah. Keep us updated, will you?
I will.
Yeah. So you're not working today, so that's how you're able to join?
I'm on a lunch break, yeah. But okay. Other thing, everything else is going good. I'm having a hard time managing sitting a lot and bad back issues,
right.
But I'm trying to manage it. So okay. All is good.
Good. Are you doing any traction or chiropractic or anything physical?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Good. You know, I found traction really, really helps me. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but my goodness, that helped me so much with my back.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Traction. There's a device that I use called a Fisher Traction, F-I-S-H-E-R, Fisher mm-hmm. Traction device. And it's been a game changer because I was paying, gosh, like $100 a session for an hour long traction mm-hmm. session. And they wanted me to go for 20 sessions, 5 days a week. And so I did that. And it was amazing, but I couldn't keep up with that kind of payment. And so I found this Fisher Traction device for like $100. And it's even better than the place I was going to. It's amazing.
Wow. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah.
And one last question and I'll turn it over. Any natural way to lower your chromium level in your blood? I had a blood test done and my chromium level is a little high because, you know, I have a hip resurfacing, metal on metal.
Okay.
Which can produce cobalt and chromium in your blood.
Yes. So the first thing I would do in that regard is get on a magnesium protocol. Are you on one already?
I thought I was, yeah.
Okay. I would get on a magnesium protocol. That would involve some different forms of magnesium at different times of the day. And really go heavy on the magnesium because magnesium is required. I'm reading Carolyn Dean's book right now called Magnesium Miracle. And it's just incredible, like learning about like something I was telling Kate this morning, something you would never think about. So like she was talking about in the book, how, you know how people will chew their food and they'll just like, they'll bite their tongue or they'll bite their cheek. Yeah. Well, she was saying that's a magnesium deficiency. And I was like, that's weird, right? But she explained it. Magnesium controls the muscle spasms and the nerves that control those muscles all over your body. And so when you have involuntary muscle spasms, or if you have any kind of muscles that aren't firing or working correctly, and that would be the muscles in your mouth when you're chewing your food, that's directly controlled by magnesium. It's like things you would never think about, right?
Right.
But magnesium is required to detoxify heavy metals. And so I would start there rather than do something like a heavy metal cleanse, or there's all kinds of things you could do, but I would start with magnesium.
Perfect. Thanks.
Yeah. And there's different forms of magnesium, you know, the baths. I would do the baths. I would do the bicarbonate. I would do all the stuff, the foot baths. I would take the supplements, you know, do all of that stuff.
Okay. All righty.
Yeah. I hope that helps, Claudia.
Thanks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. If anyone else, let's see, who else is here? I feel like there's a bunch of people here I've never seen before too. Let's see. If you have anything you want to talk about, please chime in. Let's see here. Yeah, I was reading that book. So I just got done reading a book about methylene blue. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. That was, I mentioned it last week. And of course, Paul knows all about the book, but that book is fascinating about methylene.
Actually, blue. I just got the book there, Justin. I hadn't heard about it beforehand. I apologize.
Well, you knew who the author was. I'm like, wow, you are plugged in, Paul.
Yeah, I've been on it for about a month now.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know what's amazing about methylene blue is that it turns off that nitric oxide enzyme. Right. And that is directly tied to the oxidative effects of so many processes in your body that indirectly methylene blue like impacts everything. And I heard that Morley was going to start considering adding it to the RCP protocol. Is that why you started?
Well, yeah. I started it because I read Mark's book, but then Morley brought it up on one of his webinars, saying that he and his wife have been doing it, and that he, you know, was going to look into it even further to see if it might be worth adding to the protocol. And then I wrote Mark a note. I just wanted to know if it was okay to put the methylene blue into gel caps and take it that way to keep from getting the blue mouth and the teeth and the staining. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, he said, that's absolutely okay. So, you know, that's how I've been taking it, has been putting it into gel caps and taking it that way. But evidently Morley has gotten rid of his floaters in his eyes since taking it.
Yeah, it's quite profound. Are you doing the transcriptions or? What brand of methylene blue are you doing?
I'm getting the pharmaceutical methylene blue that Mark has a link to in his book.
And okay.
I've been getting that in liquid form, 1% solution.
Okay.
And then I've been getting the 00 gel caps, which hold about 10 drops.
Okay.
And so I've been taking two of those in the morning and two of them at night. So about 40 mils per day or 40 mg per day. And which is kind of his minimum, you know, deal, unless you're treating something specific. And I guess the only really noticeable thing right away that I saw was if I take it like a half hour or so before I go to the gym, my energy level at the gym and recovery rate is much quicker and better. So that's the big thing that I've found about it. You know,
and
so,
it was really interesting. The first sort of third of that book was him talking about nitric oxide. And I was reading it going like, when are you going to start talking about methylene blue? But when you understand how the two interact together and how deeply tied nitric oxide is to every process, oxidative process in the body, you realize when methylene blue turns that off, you're like, oh my goodness. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Wow. So yeah, I do the droppers the same way. I still have transcriptions. I originally got methylene blue as a way to disable viral replication because of this whole COVID thing. And I just had it in my fridge as a sort of a, you know, part of my medicine cabinet backup in case I ever came down with it, you know. But then when I read that book by Mark Sloan, it was just like, oh my gosh, the list of benefits is just beyond. Like, I didn't know that you could, people were injecting it into people's backs to regenerate their discs. Like, unreal, unreal. It's great. It's amazing stuff. Okay. So Vicky wanted to know where to learn more about methylene blue. I'll put a link to Mark's book on Amazon. You can methylene blue. There's a great book called, what is it called?
The Ultimate Guide to Methylene Blue.
That's right. That's right.
It's an easy read too. I mean, it's not a very thick book, and it's, you know, you can easily read it in a day and maybe two if you take your time.
Yeah, I read it in.
And if you're organized.
Couple days. Yeah, right. Okay, so
my problem is I got about 30 books going at the same time and all different subjects, and so you get nutty as a pecan pie if you don't look out.
I know. There's just so many tools that we have in our tool belt for people these days that I just think it's really important for us to know that they exist. You know, not necessarily use them or buy them or whatever, but just to have them around and to know that there's things that exist. Yeah, so. Okay, I put a link to the Amazon book by Mark Sloan on methylene blue. And like I mentioned, it was originally brought to my attention, gosh, maybe a year or so ago in regards to this COVID-19 thing. And when I learned about what it does to viruses, and it prevents them from entering the cell and hijacking the cell and replicating, if you believe in viruses. And so I got it as a backup for, you know, getting sick. In case I got sick, I would just, you know, megadose the methylene blue. But when you realize what it does, it's just incredible because of its tie to nitric oxide and carbon dioxide. And it's amazing, amazing stuff.
Justin, before we get too long in the up in the chat, and you probably have seen it, I uploaded a document that I find very interesting to read, I believe. Somebody's doing something there. I believe it's a Swedish study, and I'm not sure if I learned it from you guys or somebody else. I get so much research going, and it's regarding the Pfizer shot and how, in fact, you know how they say it doesn't change DNA. Well, there's a Swedish study that proves in the liver it did in vitro. So that's a PDF up the list, about three or four notches there up the chat room. So feel free to download that and read it. It's a little bit of high reading, you know, as usual. When you want to make something look big, you just add Latin and Greek to it, and you'll have yourself a problem.
I know. That's awesome. Yeah, I am. I love reading studies, and I love learning about this kind of stuff. And so we'll put a link to that. If you guys want to save the chat at any time, there's three little buttons if you're on a desktop on the bottom right where you actually type your chat, and you can click on that and click Save Chat. I usually
that'll save it as a text file, but it won't save what I attached. I don't believe the PDF will be inside of it. So click on the PDF and download it to your local machine, and that'll be fine. It'll be a PDF file, readable for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say one more thing because that kind of brought up some. This is Claudia. And so my sister had lymphoma stage four all the way into her bones. Okay. And she went, you know, I live right by MD Anderson. So it all went away. So she's been in remission for 7-8 years. Okay. Everything's fine. She goes, I think, once every 6 months for PET scans. She got her COVID shots and her booster, of course. And now all of a sudden, with the last PET scan, her tumors have grown again everywhere in her body. But you dare not say, maybe it's because you got that shot, because, you know, then I'd be that person. But isn't that amazing?
So what kind of cancer was it? And this was your sister, right?
Lymphoma.
And it was your sister?
Non-Hodgkin's.
And it was your sister, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she got the shot. And then how long after the shot did she get tested again for cancer?
She got a PET scan about 2 months later.
And prior to that, when was her previous PET scan before that?
Oh, about 6 months.
Really? And 6 months prior, it was clean.
Right. They keep watching them all the time, right? Because it never goes away. They just monitor it.
Wow. And so
isn't that crazy?
What shot did she get? What company?
Oh, I didn't ask too much. I'm not sure. It must be Moderna.
So if she got the booster, then she probably got the previous multiple doses plus the booster, right? Gosh, what now? What does she think? Like, did you?
I don't know. It's hard to kind of ask. You don't bring up the whole vaccine thing because you don't want to start that in your family, right?
I hear you. I hear you.
But I just think it's awfully strange that they've been watching it and watching, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're everywhere.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. On my Instagram, I post a lot in my Instagram stories. And so I posted, I saw a Facebook ad that said, it was a City of Hope ad that said, it showed a person in a mask from the side view and they're just wearing a mask. And it says, cancer, we're coming for you. And so I grabbed that image and I shared it to our Instagram you know, followers. And I just posted exactly what you just said, Claudia, that, you know, this is going to be causing cancer. And I think they know what's coming, and this is predictive programming, you know? And I got so many messages from people telling me exactly what you just told me, like people getting the injection and then like within weeks or months, they get diagnosed with cancer, or their cancer is coming back, or their cancer spread. It's wild. Creepy. It's wild. Creepy. Wow. I'm sorry about your sister.
Yeah. And they're just going to watch it. They didn't say anything, right? Like, oh, ask. They're just going to watch it still.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's too bad that your sister isn't as open-minded as you are to be able to see her options, you know?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just feel like this is one of the things I constantly mention to our people, and it's just so true. And it's something that we all have to guard against. It's just going to see a doctor for anything, you know, like they hook you in and they say, well, now you're 60 or now you're 50, you should get a regular colonoscopy, or now you're, you know, this age, so women should be doing this. And then they break it down by age. So no matter what your health status is or how well you take care of yourself, if you're 30, or if you're 50, you know,
I know why.
400 pounds overweight or totally healthy, they still want you to go see them. And that's how they hook you in, you know? So
you have to have a chest examination for women for cancer, breast cancer, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's they just want you to see
them.
They
want to do only good for you, right?
Then they can put you through all the testing. Yeah. So it's, you know, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to stay away from doctors, and at least for me,
for a little money.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so important.
Some information.
And that means that you have to take care of yourself, you know, actively do things every day that are self-care related, you know, like doing saunas or doing, you know, methylene blue or doing coffee enemas or things, you know, you really got to take care of your health, you know? So yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. So, okay. So Sharon, you said I have a product called nitric oxide boost. Is this bad? It has L-citrulline in it and arginine as fuel cell. So Sharon, what I would recommend you do is, from the research I've looked at, because I knew about nitric oxide and its negative effects from people like Dr. Ray Peets and other people in the pro-metabolic community for quite some time. But I would refer you to the book that we just shared, The Ultimate Guide to Methylene Blue. And he makes a pretty definitive case in that book that you should avoid anything containing nitric oxide because it is a pro-oxidant. It's throwing off electron charges in your body, and it's creating free radical damage. And free radical damage is the cause of all disease, whether that's heart disease, dementias, cancers, autoimmune disease. It's all free radical damage. And nitric oxide is a free radical promoter. So he goes into that book, The Ultimate Guide to Methylene Blue, with all the studies and things like that. But be very careful with that. With that substance, just to sort of forewarn you with that one.
Justin, on a technicality there, you said it throws off electrons. If something throws off electrons, it's an antioxidant because it's contributing. It's essentially creating a positive charge where it robs electrons from your body. So just that technical point.
Yeah, it's just robbing the electrons, creating a loss of electrons, which creates that free radical damage. Yeah.
Correct. It neutralizes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you want is like a pro electron donor, you know, things like molecular hydrogen grounding to the earth. These things are all electron donors. So you definitely want to, in my opinion, avoid nitric oxide. So I hope that helps, Sharon. But you can look further at the research if you would like to read the studies and stuff like that in that book that I shared, The Ultimate Guide to Methylene Blue. And I think Dr. Peet might have some articles on nitric oxide as well, if you want to.
Can you hear me this time?
Oh, yes, yes.
Finally. Okay, good. I didn't know if my mic was on. Okay, it says it's loaded with beetroot and things like that. This is, I'm just looking at it. organic apples. It goes on and on. Way too many to mention. Carrots, cabbage, broccoli. So I was thinking, you know, it just says to take 4 quick release capsules before a workout. So I was wondering, when you mentioned that, I thought, my goodness, maybe I'm wrecking myself by taking it.
Yeah. Right. So again, like, I don't have all the studies memorized, you know, and all of that, but definitely. So that probably, like I mentioned to Larry, cause he's read that book, and Paul's got it now. He's going to read it. So the first like third of the book, he is all about nitric oxide, and he lays the foundation of why methylene blue is so powerful. So I would recommend reading that book.
Definitely. Yeah. I'll get it right away.
Yeah. So basically, the short answer is nitric oxide is toxic. That's the short answer. If you want all the reasons and all the studies, and you know, you can get that book, and you'll see them all in there. But
another name for it is nitrogen monoxide. Does it sound like carbon monoxide by any chance?
Okay, great.
Yeah, and so that's what it's really kind of like. You know, I was just reading some information yesterday about copper and copper toxicity that a lot of people talk about. And, you know, and then I'm reading this book on methylene blue, or I finished that one. I'm reading one on magnesium. And it's just like, there's so many things in the magnesium book. She talks about vitamin D overdose and, you know, this nitric oxide thing. And there's just so many supplements that are promoted that I feel are very dangerous. And it's just really important to just, before you start taking supplements, just do some research, you know, and make sure that there's no issues, you know, because there's a lot of them that are like that. So.
And another thing too, Justin, when you're reading the labels on that stuff, check for the iron content, because normally, like with beetroot, it's just loaded with iron.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you need to be real careful when you buy those types of supplements, and you need to read the label and check what the iron content is, because, you know, a lot of them are 10, 15, 18%. That's just a lot of iron, especially if you're trying to keep the iron out of your system.
That's good to know, because I knew about acid rain liberating excess, changing the pH of the soil, liberating iron into our food. You know, and all of that. And so that would make sense that, especially now that I think about it, that it would be in a lot of root vegetables could be possibly higher in iron. So when you take a concentrated beet supplement, that would be that.
Mm-hmm. It does have L-citrulline and L-carnitine. Mm-hmm. You would think that would be all good for you.
Yeah, it's man, it's really tricky. Like, parsed. You know, just going down the whole vitamin D rabbit trail by itself is a black hole and a whole thing too. And vitamin D is promoted everywhere. And so, it's really important to make sure that you're doing your research. And anytime you have an oxide too, I know Morley talks a lot about this, is like, there's an interaction with oxygen. And whenever you have oxygen in the body, you have iron in the body. And we've been overloaded with iron our whole life. And so there's no way to really get that down other than through blood donation. And even still, it's an issue. So oxidation is really kind of where you want to look at with your health. So taking a pro oxidizer as a supplement would not be something I would recommend, no matter what else it has in it, because you can do other things to get the same effect. So
what about,
it's possible to have a Michael, nice organic salad with a bit of hemlock in it, just a thought.
What about CoQ10 for oxygen? They talk about that all the time for your blood oxygen.
Yeah, so to harness and utilize oxygen, I mean, CoQ10 is good. It's small in molecular size, which is really great, which makes it a powerful antioxidant. But to utilize and harness oxygen, copper is needed on that, because without copper, your body cannot deal and effectively create energy in your mitochondria. And so harnessing oxygen by utilizing copper and vitamin A, that's a big part of the RCP program, is critical. It's critical. So I would do other things other than take nitric oxide if you want to harness and utilize oxygen properly.
Well, what about copper supplements?
Yeah, you could do copper supplements, and there's some good ones that are coming out now. And I'm going to be reading a book here on copper pretty soon. But you know, typically because it's a metal, typically people recommend getting it from food because it has all of the other constituents in the food to buffer, it as a metal. But, you can take copper supplements, but just, I always warn people, be careful when it comes to metals, hormones, and fats. Doesn't mean you shouldn't take them. It just means just be careful. So like a hormone would be like melatonin or vitamin D, you know, fats, you want to be really careful with fats because of lipid peroxidation. And metals, of course, you don't want to be consuming iron and you don't want to be consuming, you know, metals in the wrong form. So just whenever it comes to metals, hormones, and fats, just do a little bit of more research because you could be wrong about like, you know, vitamin K or something, and you're not going to do much damage. But if you're wrong about one of those three things for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, metals, hormones, and fats, it could be, you know, it could be damaging to your health. So
I felt like what do you know about potassium? I felt like my potassium was just drained from my body, that magnesium, because of the way I felt. I was on a keto diet, and I thought, well, maybe it was just the keto flu I was experiencing. Mm-hmm. So I went to the doctor and did all this blood work, and everything is fine. My potassium, everything was normal, uh-huh. Right smack in the middle. And so I said, yeah, but it doesn't explain the way I feel. I just felt like the blood was being drained out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's interesting you kind of had that intuitive effect on potassium. Did you want to say something, Larry, about that?
I was just going to say, when it comes to minerals and stuff like potassium, magnesium, and that stuff, you might want to look at doing one of those HTMA hair analysis tests, which is a real good read on that, because a lot of time potassium, magnesium, and that kind of stuff in your blood serum is just one way to measure it. But when you get your hair analysis, it's a, you know, completely different thing. So it's worth, and they're not that expensive to do.
Well, regarding potassium, I started looking that up in Amazon just to find out if there's a good potassium supplement. And there's so many different kinds. I wouldn't even know which kind to get.
Mm-hmm. You know what I like to do for potassium is just get it from food. And so I don't know if you're familiar with like the adrenal cocktail, or are you familiar with that?
No.
That little recipe? It's a great thing, and I recommend it highly because it's really been beneficial for me the last probably year. And it's super simple. It's basically 4 ounces of coconut water.
Okay.
And 4 ounces of orange juice, you know, the pulp free, if you can, organic, made yourself. But if you can't do any of that and you can just buy organic orange juice at the store, then that will work too. Mm-hmm. And 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt. And that makes 8 ounces a day, that makes 8 ounces. And if you could do 2 of those a day, around when your hormone cycles dip a little bit, like 11 a.m. and then like 4 p.m. kind of in that range, you know, like after breakfast, before lunch, after lunch, before dinner kind of thing. That helps to balance the sodium potassium levels, as well as give you a good boost of vitamin C from the orange juice, and regulate sugar. It's just a really powerful drink. And it's something that anytime you're doing something that's stressful, I always have one of those. Like, it's my workout drink, because working out is a stress to the body. It's a massive stress to the body. Mm-hmm. And so is, you know, running a marathon, or so is going to a job interview or whatever you're doing. It's a stress to the body. I always just kind of sip on one of those, and it's been quite profound. You can look it up online. There's different recipes for it. I think there's even supplements you can get that basically prevent you from having to make it, but I just make it. It's super simple. And that's loaded with potassium.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I was listening to Dr. Berg about his potassium. This one mineral that's always missing, especially on a keto diet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And then he went into all the different things that do have potassium, which I was surprised. I thought a banana would just cure the whole thing at one time.
The thing that's, Yeah, the thing, I don't typically recommend the ketogenic diet or the paleo diet or the carnivore diet. Those types of diets are sort of, they force the body into a backup system of creating energy, you know, because the primary fuel of the cell is glucose, which is something that you don't hear a lot about in the health world, is that sugar runs the cell, you know, and so, but sugar is demonized, you know. And so when you look at, like, you know, the main arguments against sugar, it's always, you know, sugar creates cancer. And but when you start digging a little bit deeper, it's really lactic acid production and its relationship to creating energy in the body. And so I don't typically like those types of diets that force the body to run on a backup system, because your body can create energy from fat. But it's primary fuel. The first place it looks for this in the cell is glucose. And so when you rob your body and you're forcing your body to do something it's not designed to do in case of a backup system, it's, that is creating a stress on the body too. So it's something you may want to look at, you know? And it's kind of like antithetical to what most people are saying. Is most people are saying fasting is good, ketogenic diet is good, carnivore, paleo, don't eat any sugar and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, sugar isn't really the problem when you understand really what the problem is. And the problem is, you know, oxidation from lipofuscin and iron overload and mineral dysregulation, like Morley talks about, and oxidative stress and these types of things versus sugar. So, yeah.
Something I am going through a stressful period right now too. So like a lot of people are.
So, I mentioned before, I'm reading that book on magnesium right now by Dr. Carolyn Dean. And it's sad. I had her on my show like 6 or 7 years ago. And I wish I had read that book when I interviewed her, but, she wrote the book called Magnesium Miracle. And, you know, understanding and utilizing magnesium properly, I think is so key to your health. And I would really recommend getting multiple forms of magnesium, all throughout the day. And if you're going through a stressful time, like we all are, the number one mineral we burn up is magnesium. It goes away so fast. And when you realize like how much it is involved in every process of the body, it's like, no wonder why we're all depleted in it. In the study, she mentions that like 80% of Americans are magnesium deficient, but I agree with Morley that it's more like 99% of people are deficient. Depends on what levels you're using to check people. So take a magnesium bath, do a magnesium foot bath, use a magnesium spray on your body once or twice a day. Do magnesium bicarbonate in your water, you know, 3 ounces a day if you can handle that. Take magnesium glycinate and malate supplements. If you're worried about absorption, that adrenal cocktail will help balance the sodium potassium levels in your body to help absorb it. But getting on a magnesium protocol is really, really critical.
Okay.
Especially if you're stressed, which we all are, right?
I was just going to say everybody on the call must be stressed over what's going on right now.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's, yeah, we're all stressed out. So I've been upping my magnesium a lot.
Okay. And the best source of magnesium would be?
There is no best. There's just different forms for different sort of, you know, options. You know, there's different forms chelated to different amino acids. You know, some people say magnesium 3N8 is the only kind that gets into the brain, but apparently all magnesium can penetrate the brain. I like glycinate as supplements. I like glycinate. I like malate. Those are the two I'm using right now. And Dr. Dean sells a magnesium supplement as well called REMAG, REMAG. I've never tried that, but I'm going to be trying it very soon. And my foundation though, with magnesium is always bicarbonate.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can make that for pennies, and I just drink 1 ounce 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. And that's been a game changer.
I know when I was upping my magnesium through supplements or through the product called Calm, it just seems like I had extremely loose stools.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably not absorbing it. Properly. And so in order to do that, you kind of have to go really slowly with it. And you can take things like boron to help keep magnesium in the cell, or vitamin B6 at low levels can help magnesium get into the cell. Dr. Dean's, the REMAG product, she claims that her magnesium is absorbed directly into the cell, so it doesn't cause any bowel tolerance. I don't know that to be true in terms of experience. I've never tried her product, but that's what she claims. So you could look at that one as well. But starting slow, but getting it from like foot baths, regular hot baths, and then transdermally and, you know, liquid form, supplement form, food form, starting slow and doing all of that for a few months will help get your body used to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. No worries. Hopefully that some of those ideas helped a little bit.
Something to Justin that is not considered sometimes is the folks are taking either over the counter meds or prescription meds, has a potential of interfering with nutrition in the body in ways just unpredictable.
Just like regular medications, you're saying?
Over the counter or prescription. Yes, absolutely. For instance, if I give a brief anecdote, one of my late brothers, John, this is back in 2009, he was on several prescriptions by doctor and routine. He had a blood test at the hospital, and they diagnosed hypocalcemia, which is a fancy name for low potassium. Mm-hmm. And he was a type that, yeah, he just flipped him off and said, oh, blankety blank, I'll just eat a banana. And that didn't work. He died in his sleep on Labor Day weekend, just quietly went off in his sleep. And that's what the cause of death was. But it was chronic nutritional issues, as well as medications from the allopathic, I call it allopathetic, medical system.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it's true. In Carolyn Dean's book on magnesium, she goes through, I think she's got a whole chapter on that about how, you know, different minerals and different things will prevent the absorption of other minerals, and specifically those types of prescription drugs, you know, and they do that. They pull minerals from the body, they create imbalance and dysregulation. And so it's, yeah. So if you're
and
on
even
a medication,
some good minerals are antagonistic to each other, you know, mm-hmm. Copper and zinc, for example, if you supplement with those, take them apart 12 hours in the day, if you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vitamin A, vitamin D, you know? So it's so just be very careful, you know, when you're taking other like prescription drugs and things like that. So just be careful.
Yeah, but on the energy issue, Morley Robbins' book may be a good read there for they called Cure Your Fatigue. Uh-huh. That's CU, and he has a little play on words there. And CU is a symbol for copper. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. If some, it's on Amazon Kindle as well. But that thing right there, he addresses a lot of this, and there's a lot of background. A lot of things mess with your ATP. For Ms. Sharon to take consideration of that if she hadn't read that.
Yeah, let me put a link to that book. Or if you guys are interested in Morley's work, I mean, go to our workshops page, and we did a whole 3-hour workshop with him there, with Morley about his RCP program. But let me put a link to his books just so that people can get access to it. Cure Your Fatigue. That's a great book. Okay, so I'm going to put a link to his book there in the chat room. So if anyone's interested in it, you can check that out. Paul, did you finish reading that?
No, I'm going through it. Like I said, I've got 30 or 40 books on the burner at the same time. So trying to stir all these pots is a wild scene.
There's only so many hours in the day, right?
That's exactly right. And right now I'm involved in the buying of the house, and I have to fill out back taxes. And so I look like a clown, virtually speaking, juggling everything.
That's awesome. Yeah, I put so Sharon asked about a workshop link with Morley. So Morley's been on our show. So for those who don't know, I mean, some people don't know that we have a radio show, and we've been doing it since 2012, for 10 years now. And there's not many guests we've had on multiple times. We've had quite a few on, you know, twice or something like that. But Morley, his work is so, I would say, foundational. He calls himself the thinking man's nutritionist. And so if you want to know why certain things are the way they are, or why you shouldn't take vitamin D and stuff like that, he shares the studies and why things are the way they are. And I've got a really good, I feel like I've got a really good foundation on his or understanding of his program. But he's been on our show, I think 13, 14 times now, because he's always studying, always learning, and always learning new research. And so that's why I wanted to have him do a root cause protocol workshop inside the academy. So for those that are on the chat right now, there's a link to the workshop we did with him. And he goes over all of this stuff. Oh, Tana, no worries. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, Tana. Okay, so Bill said, what about turpentine? My friend Steve is taking turpentine and using turpentine soap for his skin cancer. Another friend told me that he was given turpentine as a kid for curing his wedding problem. Yeah, so turpentine, we did a radio show episode 222 with Dr. Jennifer Daniels, gosh, 5 or 6 years ago on turpentine. And she's kind of made it more popular. And I'm not against it at all. I think that it has its place. I don't think it's something to do on an ongoing basis, but it's definitely something you should have in your medicine cabinet. The form I like is from Diamond Force. What is it called? G Diamond Force or something. You can get it on Amazon. Diamond Force. I'll see if I can find a link to it. But for skin cancer, there's other things you could do too, like Bec 5, BEC 5, Diamond G Force. That's what it was. Yeah. Thanks, Shelley. Diamond Force. Diamond G Force. Yeah, so BEC5, which is an extract of the eggplant skin, because you know the eggplant skin is almost black, it's purple. And if you search BEC-5 skin cancer, you'll find a lot of information about that. I did a video on it in the academy, along with other things you can do for skin cancers, like what was that? The escharotics, you know, the bloodroot pastes and stuff. But skin cancer is an internal issue. And so the cause of skin cancer is blue light, sunglasses, lipofuscin from fried foods, iron overload, a lack of vitamin A, a lack of vitamin E. All of those things are the cause of skin cancers. Oh, Paul, thanks for sharing that. Good. A link directly to their site, so you don't have to go to Amazon. That's great. Nice. Very cool. Very cool. I just clicked on it. Thank you for that. Yeah, I have their liquid. I don't have their soaps or anything. This is pretty cool. Great.
And a note there, just remember that turpentine, the pure gum spirits of turpentine is an extract of plant, and the plant is created in a certain fashion to manifest itself in a nutritional profile, if I could put it that way. So there's no fear of it. Like you said, they'll keep it as a therapeutic.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, Bill, I'm glad your friend's doing that. Diamond G Forest. That's great. Yeah. So just looking at other options too, it's just important, you know, like it's just really important to understand why these things occur and understanding it's a systemic metabolic issue. You know, I love what Morley says, because it really puts power back into your hands, which is there is no disease. There's only metabolic dysfunction based on mineral dysregulation. And so when you fix the way your metabolism works, that is creating energy and ATP and your, I think it's complex 4 of your mitochondria. And if you can do that and clear the exhaust and not create any oxidative processes as a result, your body will heal from everything. So you'll have the energy at the end of the day to do stuff. You don't have to worry about contracting diseases. It's a metabolic dysfunction based on mineral dysregulation. Yeah. So Carrie Rivera, she's awesome. She's been on our show. I think we did a workshop with her too in the academy. Did we do a workshop? Yeah, we did. Autism with Carrie Rivera. Yeah. She's been on a radio show and she's been demonized. All the good ones have. I put turpentine, Shelley says, in my tick repellent too, along with witch hazel. Really? Okay. That's awesome, Shelley. Thanks for sharing that.
Hey,
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Can you give us a rerun on what your semi-panacea was? I didn't catch it all.
Sorry, the what did you say?
Well, I want to call it a panacea, but that thing that you said, cure everything. Just the previous statement you were talking about.
Oh, the methylene blue?
It might have been. I didn't catch that part, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So,
I think you might have been talking about Morley's book, Justin.
Oh, the cure. Okay. Yeah. So let me put a link to it. I put a link to it in the chat room, but this is the book you guys need to get. It's called Cure Your Fatigue. And that book will change your understanding of energy and minerals and how it all plays together. Because what I like about Morley is the same thing I liked about David Wolf. And David Wolf said, like, medicinal Chinese mushrooms are incredibly powerful. But when you get into that system of medicine, there's like thousands of them, right? And David Wolf said, just focus on the top three. You know, don't worry about all, you know, the other 2,997. Just focus on the top three powerful, most powerful medicinal mushrooms. And Morley's done the same thing with minerals. There's so many minerals, right? There's like 92 minerals or something. But he just talks about three or four of them and how they interplay together and the synergy between those three. It's basically copper, magnesium, iron, and retinol, to some extent calcium a little bit. But it's basically those four. And when you understand how they play a role together and how they synergize and work against or for each other, your understanding of how energy gets created and how oxidation either comes and goes based on what you do with those minerals is so powerful. And so it's like one of those things where people will always say, well, I've got autoimmune disease, or I've got Crohn's disease, or I've got arthritis, or I've got cancer. And there's Caroline Dean said in her book, there's over 30,000 different diseases. And so when you look at it, something like that, it's like, wow, that really takes, like, when you are told there's over 30,000 different diseases that your body can have, does that empower you or disempower you? And then when you hear Morley say there is no disease, there's metabolic dysfunction based on mineral dysregulation. Now, when you hear that sentence, does that empower you or disempower you? And so when you understand these three minerals working together and how they create oxidation or not, it really puts power back into your hands. And so it's fascinating. It's really, really fascinating. I mean, I can give you the long and short of it if you like, but it's really, really important. I mean, I do all the other stuff too, like the methylene blue and the shaga tea and all that kind of stuff. Shaga would be another one for skin cancer as well.
Give us the long and short of it.
Okay, so the long and short of it, based on Morley's work, is that diseases is caused by oxidation. So that's just the number one cause of it. So oxidation is caused by electron loss. And electron loss happens because of mineral dysregulation, but also because of our environment, living next to Wi-Fi, living next to, you know, being inside with blue light. You're losing electrons, and this is causing inflammation and mitochondrial damage. Okay, so then your body loses electrons, the inflammation goes up, and your body can't make energy. So then your body can't make energy, and because of that, all kinds of things happen. You get eye floaters, you get eye twitches, you can't go to sleep at night, so the problem's further exacerbated. You know, years and years go by and you get diagnosed with a disease, whatever. So oxidation, you can search online for PubMed for the oxidative as the cause of all disease or something. There's a good PubMed article about that. So that's the foundation, is the oxidation is the cause of all disease, internal rusting. And the reason why we rust is because we don't have enough copper, because copper is the only mineral to balance out the oxidation that's occurring from iron. We have iron overload, and then we breathe oxygen, and that creates rust. You put out some metal out in your backyard, and a month later, it's rusty, right? Because it's filled with iron, and it's exposed to oxygen. Problem is that's happening inside our body. And so as a result, we have internal rusting, but we don't know what that, you know, don't feel it, can't see it. It shows up as gray hair. It shows up as hair loss, shows up as disease, whatever. calcification shows up in internal organ shrinkage, all that kind of stuff. So the rusting is what's happening as a result of iron overload that we've been exposed to and breathing oxygen. So the way to deal with that is increase your copper levels and increase your vitamin A levels. So copper has to be loaded into that ceruloplasmin protein that has 1,045 amino acids. It's got 6 to 8 copper atoms inside of it. And when ceruloplasmin is working properly, it's able to deal with the oxidation from iron overload. The only way for that to work properly is for the copper to get inside that protein. And the only way it does that is with retinol. That's true vitamin A. And so without retinol, that copper is going to be unbound. And so if it's unbound, that means you're going to have iron overload. And so, so it's really important to make sure that you have retinol coming in, true vitamin A, and copper so that you can deal with the iron overload. And then as a result of that, then regulating your breathing, making sure you're not breathing into, you're not hyperventilating, you're not breathing in more oxygen than you need, making sure that you're taking enough copper, you're lowering your iron with blood donations and lactoferrin. There's a bunch of substances you can take to reduce iron and get it back, reactivate the iron recycling system. And so when you start doing all these things, it's really only 3 or 4 minerals you have to kind of focus on. But when you start doing all of that, it makes total sense. And you realize, wow, the reason why I'm tired at night is because I'm not making energy. The reason why I'm not making energy is because my mitochondria is broken. And the reason why that's broken is because my minerals are completely dysregulated and out of balance, you know? And so that's why on Morley's program, there's a series of stops and a series of starts. And, you know, the stops are very like, you know, stop taking zinc, stop taking vitamin C, stop taking vitamin D. And you think, what? That makes no sense. I was told my whole life these things are good. Well, when you start getting into his work and start looking at how these things interact with each other, it becomes quite overwhelming, the evidence. Even Carolyn Dean was saying that taking vitamin D lowers magnesium and it also lowers vitamin A levels. And so it's, so just understanding the key basic minerals of how they interact with the body and create energy in complex four, that is the key to all of this. Because when we have energy, we don't have headaches. All of our health challenges just will go away. But it's the inability for the body to make energy and clear the exhaust and lower the oxidative stress in the process. So that's basically the long and short of it. But you can go into so much detail, and I can go into detail on each one of those things and how they work and why you should take vitamin D and why you shouldn't take vitamin A unless it's retinol and all that kind of stuff. But that's the long and short of it.
Can you take too much vitamin A?
Yeah, you can, because the conversion for vitamin A to beta carotene to be converted, the last study I read was something like there's only a 13% conversion. So like eating carrots, drinking carrot juice, you're only converting about 13% at maximum of that. And so when people take too much beta carotene, you'll notice their skin turn orange. You know, my friend Chris Bork did that with his cancer diagnosis. He juiced a bunch of carrots and turned orange because his body wasn't converting it. But vitamin A, if you're talking about taking too much retinol, I mean, sure, you can take too much of anything, but we live in a world that's depleted of retinol. And so when you have copper coming in and you have vitamin A, it's very difficult to overdo retinol, because that vitamin or that vitamin A, that retinol is going to be utilized to get that copper into ceruloplasmin. So it's going to be functioning and necessary and needed. So
wow. Foods can we take now? Now you really have me confused, because I was doing a lot of zinc because of COVID, mm-hmm. a lot of magnesium and vitamin D,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's why I've been feeling crazy.
So there's a lot of debate about vitamin D and zinc as well. So apparently the zinc and citrates is too, like magnesium citrate, which is very powerful. They cause that ceruloplasmin protein to misfold incorrectly. And it also causes the enzymes to be deactivated. And so it's not recommended zinc or vitamin D. And so vitamin D has its own set of issues. But I don't recommend anyone supplement with vitamin D. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think people need it. And there's a whole, we've done multiple radio shows on it and doing super deep dives into what it is and how it throws off minerals and vitamin A and magnesium. And but unfortunately in the mainstream alternative, it's touted as this miracle thing, you know? And that's why I wish everyone would follow my work on Instagram, because I'm sharing these studies. Like, I'm constantly sharing these studies that I'm reading. And that's why I'm encouraging everyone to follow me there so that you can see the stuff that I'm seeing and reading and stuff. So
what is your link?
I'll put a link to my Instagram. If you guys are on there, let me put a link to it.
Is that the only medium you use when, for some of us who have no more social media than email and text?
Thank you.
Yeah. So we got kicked off of Facebook. And we're not kicked off, but they restricted our account because of what we're talking about, just like Dr. Bergman. And I don't post on YouTube anymore because one more video, one more strike, and they'll kick us off there too. And so Instagram seems to be the only place that I can post anything. I am on Telegram, but I don't post that much on there. I wish there was a way inside the Academy I could share this information easier and quickly, but Instagram is probably the best place. Specifically the stories is where I share all this stuff too. But yeah, so going back to vitamin D, just the long and short of it, the receptors on your cells, the ones for vitamin D also accept vitamin A, and they're identical. And so the problem is that when you high dose and mega dose vitamin D, you're preventing those receptors because there's only a certain amount of receptors on each cell. And so when you megadose vitamin D, you're throwing off your vitamin A status because those receptors can take one or the other. They can't take both. And so as a result of that, your vitamin D is going to go up and your vitamin A is going to go down. And when A is down, then you're not going to be able to load copper into ceruloplasmin and make that key protein activated to minimize the damage of iron overload. And so that's one issue. But then the other issue too, is that when you force the body to take vitamin D, there's a conversion step process that has to happen all the way from 7-dehydrocholesterol hitting your skin to pre-vitamin D, which is like toxiferol, tacosterol, lumasterol. There's all these pre-vitamin D hormones that have to be created. And it gets created by God in your body and, you know, through sunlight and exposure to UVB frequency of sun. And those conversions from 7-dehydrocholesterol to that requires magnesium. Then from there, it goes to vitamin D3 and that requires magnesium. And so when you're forcing vitamin D into the body through a supplemental form, you're forcing these conversions to happen that require magnesium. So that's making your body utilize the magnesium for that instead of other purposes. But then also going down the line, 25, you know, D3 has to get converted to 25-OHD, which is the storage form. Then 25-OHD gets converted to 125 active vitamin D. And then when that gets converted to there, it goes to the nuclear receptor VDR. And that's responsible for over 900 genes. Some people think as many as 5,000. And so when that happens, taking vitamin D3 prevents the VDR from expressing those genes properly. So you have 900 plus genes that need to be expressed properly. And what happens when you don't express your genes right? Well, then cell mutations start to happen. Autophagy shuts down. The cells don't work right. Genes don't get expressed right. Cancer cells start to grow. There's 913 of them that don't get expressed because taking vitamin D3 or D2 shuts down that from happening in the nuclear receptor VDR. That's just one thing. Vitamin D is a complex secosteroid that, you know, we're playing with God when we think we can supplement nature, you know? And that's why I said before, it's really important metals, fats, and hormones, just be very careful. before you take those. But I could go on and on about why you shouldn't take vitamin D. If you go onto our Instagram stories, I have a whole highlight there on vitamin D, and you can read all those. I'll put a link to it if you guys are interested. But it's just like, it's, oh man, I just shared something last night. Oh, thanks, Paul, for sharing that. We just did another show about vitamin D a couple of days ago, but yeah, so I just shared the vitamin D highlight, but it's a deep, complex thing. And unfortunately, just people say, you know, take vitamin D, you know, and it's good for you, and not knowing any of these things. Or that's why I like Dr. Cruz, you know, he always says you can't supplement nature. You just can't do it. You know, so, yeah, Sharon, if my advice to you would be take the K2 by itself and don't take the vitamin D. But I know it's a controversial subject, and, you know, I get a lot of blowback for it. And, but, you know, I'm researching this stuff every day, and the evidence is overwhelming. So yeah, I mean, vitamin D is a deep, deep subject. Yeah. So let's see. Anyone else have anything they want to chat about?
I do again.
No worries.
yeast infection. Am I a non-infection? I should say, if you're allergic to yeast, my daughter's allergic to yeast and her face broke out really bad. I mean, she looked like she had psoriasis all over her face.
Oh, wow.
So I was wondering, what do you do? What do you eat if you're allergic to yeast?
What is yeast?
Any kind of yeast, like bread.
She's probably talking about yeast.
I thought that's what she said, but yeah.
Y-E-A-S-T.
So it's yeast, okay. Yeah, so fungal overgrowth, you know, I would try. There's lots of different herbs you can take. There's, you know, lots of antifungals you can take. And, you know, I would try the turpentine, to be honest. If I were her, I would try that. You know, it's just a matter of trying different things. You know, there's, you know, I like what Dr. Daniel says. Whenever you have an issue like that, it's always, you know, going to be a liver issue. It's going to be an intestinal colon issue. And it's going to be directly tied to that. And then she also talks about like how important it is to strengthen the connective tissue, because your skin, if you have psoriasis coming out of your skin, because you have fatty liver disease or something going on with your liver, your skin is weak. And so strengthening the connective tissue of your skin, you know, prevents that from occurring and, you know, seeing that. So that's another thing to think about. Yeah, doing antifungals. I know there's a product called Yeast Guard, I think, from worldhealthmall.com. There's a guy, I think we had him on our radio show years ago. Let me try to find his product. It might be something where, like, if it's your daughter and she's just looking for like a supplement or something, this could be something good for her. World Health Mall. Because, you know, as with all these things, it's a systemic problem. And if you're on this call, then, you know, this is going to be something that you would fix at the systemic level. But if you're not on this call and you're just, you know, looking for a supplement, sometimes that's just all what people need. Here's a product that I've never tried, but I've heard really good things about. I put it in the chat room.
And Justin, Dr. Bergman associates a lot of that with gut health, as you alluded to.
Yeah, I know. He's so good at explaining that too. And the gut and liver is key always with skin issues.
She's very aware of the gut health.
Okay.
She's been doing that too. And a gluten-free diet. So,
wait a second. Corey, your daughter's here?
How did you know Corey?
Is that your daughter?
Yes.
Wait a second.
How did you know that?
She's here.
Yeah, that's me. I was trying to stay anonymous.
No way. So, Corey, you're Sharon's daughter?
I am.
Dude, that's crazy. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I don't even want to show you a picture of myself. I look like a freak right now.
No worries. That's great. Because, you know, I have the hardest time with when people ask for other people because...
Oh, sorry.
No.
It's really embarrassing, like what's going on. It's very scary.
So. Yeah, no. So, okay. So you're here.
Like a burn victim, really, truly. People look at me and they go, what happened to you? you know, because okay. I have to go out and get groceries or prescription or whatnot. And yeah, I've had people just go, you know, what's happened? Because they know it's not me. I mean, I look like a totally different person.
So do you think it's candida kind of related?
Well, I did have my blood drawn years ago, and I'm definitely allergic to yeast and yeast, eggs, and dairy. And I've done some leaky gut repair and had a lot of success with that. But now it's come, and that was 2 years ago, and I was able to reintegrate some of those foods. But now it's come back with a vengeance. And it used to just be around my eyes, but now it's around my whole mouth and on my cheek, and it started on my neck. It looks a lot like eczema, but the hard part is that my mouth, all around my mouth, is so stiff from the dryness and from just, you know, the soreness. These they crack open and they weep. And I've already kind of understood the cycle a little bit. Like how, you know, it takes about 6 days to go away. So right now I'm in like the burn phase where it's, the burn has gone away, but now it's really flaky and super dry. It's like, I can't hardly even open my mouth to eat or, you know, to smile or anything like that. And it's just cracked everywhere.
Okay. Are you focusing at all on retinol and copper?
No.
Okay. So I would consider taking some retinol, that's animal fats. If you really, you know, in your case, like a cod liver oil might be something to consider. Cause that's a heavy dose of retinol in that. And I would avoid the fermented cod liver oil. And because the retinol, cause you know, like all, like a lot of the skin products that people put on their face, it's like retinoic acid, you know, it's retinol in that. And so retinol and copper would be really, really key for you, I think, to help mitigate this situation. Cause copper, not only, I mean, its list of benefits are endless, but one of the things it does, it helps build collagen in the body and strengthen connective tissue. So that would help with your, directly with your skin as well. But doing those two things along with an antifungal program, I think would be two things to do together simultaneously to help get on top of this issue.
Okay. Yeah. Now would kombucha be considered fungus? Cause I was told to avoid mushrooms, even, you know, sauerkraut, all that. But what about kombucha? I'm guessing that I should stay away from that too.
Yeah. I would probably stay away from that because that's, you know, made with a yeast, derivative. And I think that, you know, the SCOBY that's in that, and I'd probably stay away from anything that could exacerbate it. Mm-hmm. But any type of thing like that, my go-to would be copper, retinol, and magnesium, and increasing those doses. And let me find a cod liver oil.
Yeah, I do eat cod liver, and I do eat quite a bit of salmon and stay away from, I mean, I have a pretty restrictive diet as it is.
Okay.
Imagine pretty clean. And then as far as, what was I going to ask you? The copper, that is something brand new to me. Would that be a supplement, and what's the dosage recommendation, or is that a topical?
So copper, there's a couple copper products that have come out recently that I haven't tried yet because they're brand new, but I always recommend getting copper from food first. Mm-hmm. But if you want to just like in your case, you're in sort of an acute situation. Mm-hmm. So there's the Morley just launched one called Recuperate. And I'll put a link to it. I'll see if I can find it. Recuperate IQ copper. And that's like a form of it's activate. Okay. So here's a copper supplement. If you're looking for that, I'll put it in the chat room. And then the cod liver oil that you may want to consider is Rosita. Cod liver oil. That one has like, I think some incredible amount of retinol, because it's the retinol that you're after. And I'll put that one in there as well. Okay. So Larry said cod liver oil through Jigsaw Health is good too. Okay, cool. Yeah. Jigsaw is a good company. Yes. So I would start there. The best source. So food-based sources of copper are going to be beef liver. You could do these as supplemental forms as well. Oyster, mushroom. I know that's kind of an issue for you, Corey, mushroom, but whole food vitamin C, because it has the tyrosinase enzymes, which helps lasso copper out of the blood into ceruloplasmin. Whole food vitamin C, What else is
what's a whole food vitamin C?
Whole food vitamin C is going to be like, typically it's those berry powders like acerola cherry powder, stuff like that. Okay. The problem with ascorbic acid is it has the opposite effect. It depletes your body of copper.
Okay.
And so you want to avoid things that deplete your body of copper, but then, you know, you want to make sure you're getting copper as well.
When you say, let's see, mushrooms, like I know I'm supposed to avoid them. Does that include stuff like reishi mushroom and all that? And even coffee for that matter, can coffee have fungus on it?
Yeah. You know, if it's really an issue, I would avoid those things, okay. You know, and it sounds like it is an issue, but it shouldn't be an issue once you get on top of this. Mm-hmm. But it's like parasites, you know, it's like we all have them. You know, mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, fungus and these types of things, it's everywhere. It's in the air we breathe. So there's no way to really mm-hmm. get rid of it. So I'm more of a fan of strengthening the host. But in your case, since you're wanting to get on top of this thing, I would just avoid as much as you can that might have a yeast, you know, ingredient in it.
Okay. And another question, do you know if this is extremely serious? Like, could it be how, you know, people have bee stings and nut allergies? I mean, the way that this expressed itself this last time, it's been three times this year so far, and it lasts, like I said, for a good week. Uh-huh. I get really inflamed too. I mean, seriously, I don't look like the same person. I mean, my eyes get so puffy and everything. I'm just wondering, like how serious this could be and get, you know, like I got kind of scared this last time because it came on so strong.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I can see how you would feel that way. But I would just look at it as your body's sending you a message, and it's mm-hmm. really cool that you're open-minded enough and you're, you know, into this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I would just look at it as a message saying your minerals are dysregulated right now. And your inflammation is super high, most likely because of iron overload, because of heavy metals, and possibly, you know, the consumption of, you know, bad fats throughout your life and my life as well. And so you have a massive amount of inflammation that's caused by oxidation. And so it's not that big a deal, but the problem is that, like, you're going to be on top of this and fix it systemically. But the problem is people will just take a pill or a supplement or medication and it goes away, and the underlying problem is still always there. Mm-hmm. And then it morphs over time into something different and something way more serious. And they just keep overlooking it and don't do anything about fixing the real problem. And that's where I think I think this is just a message from God saying, hey, let's start focusing on balancing your minerals. Let's get your health back. And I wouldn't look at it as something serious in that regard. I would just look okay. at it as a message, you know?
Another question I have regarding the seafood. We just, like I said, we eat a lot of salmon and cod. We get real clean sources, of course, wild. And also, like, I eat lamb pretty regularly. I was recommended to follow that because of my B blood type. Uh-huh. And it does make some sense to me, you know, to avoid chicken and beef, and like turkey's okay. I mean, I don't want to eat rabbit, but as far as like the salmon goes and the fish, we eat that 3, 4, 5 nights a week. And then I was told I could have mercury poisoning, and I'm thinking what I heard about salmon before, especially if it's, you know, wild and deep cold water, is that it probably doesn't have mercury. So then all of a sudden that became another concern for me, was mercury poisoning. And I looked up the symptoms and I don't have any of those symptoms. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What's your, I guess the ultimate question here is, do you think that all fish has a lot of mercury in it, and should I not be eating it that much?
I mean, my, from where I'm at, I've been studying this since 2003. And so I've been doing this for a long time. I don't have all the answers. I just know what I study. Mm-hmm. But where I'm at right now is I would, you know, if I were in your case, I would do fish a couple times a month kind of a thing. If you're Yeah, I wouldn't focus too heavily on it, because most fish, unless you're eating the right fish, and I don't remember the fish, but basically cold water fish, mm-hmm. is going to have super high amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm. And that is a real problem with oxidation. And so fish oils, fish that contain lots of polyunsaturated fatty acids, these are basically antifreeze. They synergize inside the body And like you look down at your hands mm-hmm. and you have little age spots on that, on your hands or your forehead or whatever. Or if you look at the hands of a really old person, they're all just covered in spots. Mm-hmm. That's lipofuscin accumulation. And for every spot you have on your hand, you have thousands covering your organs and all over your body. And I don't know about you, but you know, I was growing up eating iron-laden foods. I was growing up eating toxic oils. And so now I have a body filled with that stuff. And even as a 100% raw foodist for 7 years, I was still consuming lots of nuts and seeds and lots of iron rich, iron laden, leafy green vegetables and things. And that stuff stores in your tissues. And whenever you have metabolic stress and mineral dysregulation, it could come out and express itself in your skin. Mm-hmm. And so be really wary of the oils you consume. Okay. Even if they're from salmon and fish, because that those things are a real problem.
Hmm. Well, good news. I don't have any spots.
Good.
I'm in my mid-50s.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, that's nice. And then, so nuts and seeds. Goodness, are you a vegan?
No, I don't really follow. I was 100% raw food vegan for 7 years and mm-hmm. from 2003 to 2010. Mm-hmm. And then I went more of a paleo kind of diet and now I'm just balanced. I don't restrict sugar. I don't eat lots of sugar, but I don't restrict sugar and demonize it. I just eat balanced. I try to eat in good combinations, not too much, you know? And so I try to stay as balanced. Cause I think that, you know, all of these diets are not healthy for the body. I'm not a fan of any of these types of like hardcore diets. Mm-hmm. Because I think they're a metabolic stress, you know? So, So just make sure like the amount of oils you're consuming, because that's going to contribute to the inflammation inside your body. It's called lipofuscin and they call it progressive lipofuscinosis. And when those oils are consumed, they interact with iron, with estrogen, with oxygen, and they oxidize immediately. It's called yellow fat disease. I'm reading a book on it right now. It's a deep subject and it's something that not a lot of people are talking about, which is why I like to highlight it, you know? Mm. So, I mean, if I were you, the short answer is I would lower your iron by doing a blood donations. I would lower your consumption of polyunsaturated fatty acids, omega-3. I would increase your copper. I would increase your retinol and vitamin A. I would increase your magnesium and then I would get on an antifungal protocol and doing all of that, for at least 30 days, I think you'd see tremendous results.
Okay. Can I ask two quick questions then?
Sure.
So when you say increase vitamin A, what's the recommended dosage? Cause I know you have to be really careful with that.
So I would, in your case, I would go to that Rosita USA or okay. the one that, that Larry shared from, I forget the website, Jigsaw. Okay. But I would just follow the recommendations on their, cod liver oil, supplements. I would okay. follow those. And if you really want to dive deep into the details, you can follow the RCP program. That's the root cause protocol. And you can follow that, but also something else I would stack with what you do is systemic enzymes. Have you played around with those at all?
Tremendously. Yes.
Okay. And you're taking away from food?
I'm sorry. What?
Are you taking those away from food?
I take them before I eat. Yes.
Okay. Are you doing high dose?
I'm not sure. Just whatever's recommended on the bottle.
Okay. Yeah. You can go pretty high dose with those. And if you can do them before you go to bed on empty stomach and maybe when you wake up as well, I think that will help it does help lower inflammation. So that would be, you know, something to kind of do a little bit more aggressively.
Okay. And then the other question is you said you eat balanced now. So what is your opinion of balance?
My opinion of balance is just not that I have the right diet or I'm right about everything, but you know, for me, what's working for me right now, and it may change is, like in the morning, I drink, first thing I wake up and I drink a bunch of water with minerals and different, you know, magnesium and stuff added to it, along with 4 systemic enzymes. And then I let that sit for a little while, and then I'll have some fruit, you know, and then I'll have my coffee with breakfast, usually some eggs. I don't do well with egg whites, so I scramble 3 or 4 egg yolks, and I'll have some of that with coffee. And then I'll you know, have a lunch, and then I'll just take my supplements with lunch. You know, lunch is usually, you know, something like, you know, like a sandwich with, you know, turkey and sprouts on it and avocado. Or sometimes I'll just have that by itself, or, you know, whatever. And, I don't really follow too much. I have like grass-fed beef, you know, a few times a week. You know, I do medicinal mushrooms a lot. I do a lot of supplements. I do a lot of like methylene blue and different things, you know, but, you know, just not eating too much, not eating too fast, chewing my food, everything's organic. And that seems to be working, but, you know, not going too heavily on the nuts and seeds, or the fish oils. I don't do any of those anymore. Thank God. So, you know, really your body can handle a lot. And the way I look at it is, if you're doing something wrong dietarily, if you have your mineral foundation laid down, your body can handle it. And so, like, you know, if you got a certain blood type, like you mentioned, and you're eating the wrong food, but if your minerals are regulated, then you're going to be able to.
There's Grandma Carol.
You know, so.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Yeah. If your minerals are regulated properly, like you're lowering your iron, increasing magnesium, copper, and retinol, then you're going to be able to deal with a lot. Cause like, for example, like copper, if you start diving into the world of copper, it'll blow your mind. There's a book that I'm going to read all about copper soon, but basically like a lot of people with the MTHFR, that methyl transferase enzyme is copper dependent. And so a lot of times people who have autoimmune issues because they have the MTHFR gene, it's just a copper deficiency, because without copper, that enzyme's not activated and your body goes nuts. And so a lot of this stuff is like mineral dysregulation, you know?
Okay.
So, alrighty. Yeah, I hope I gave you some ideas to think about. Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Justin, may I interject something on the subject before you pick up Barbara's question?
Sure. Please.
Just briefly, I think on the mushrooms and things like that, the facet of cooking them kills the fungus, and there's still nutrition in it. So realize that. And coffee, you're brewing that about 200 degrees. That's going to kill any fungus that may be in there, whether organic or not. It'll definitely take care of it. But it's something to consider there. And also, I would ask that we not conflate, and unless those studies you refer to specifically mention it, the omegas and the various things in their natural form in the food don't necessarily have to be avoided, but the supplements where it's extracted by process may be the issue. And I'm wondering what those studies used. Did they actually use whole foods, or did they use supplements?
The problem is that I can share, I have a whole highlight on my Instagram of those studies, so I can share those with you. The problem is is the environment that we've created and the world that we're living in juxtaposed with what we're actually supposed to be doing. And so there's a guy on our radio show a long time ago was saying that, what was he saying? I think he was against dairy, but he said that dairy is an optimal superfood, but because of the world that we live in and the way we've polluted our environment and our metabolic stress levels, he doesn't recommend dairy for anybody. But he was saying we should be able to eat it, and we should eat it. It's a superfood, but he doesn't recommend it. And so it's one of those,
because it's tampered with.
It's tampered with our environment. And dairy, you know, I consume dairy, but dairy is coming from an animal that's not even a natural animal. It's not a wild animal. The cows aren't wild animals. And so the same thing with fish oil or these oils, whether they're getting from food or I would really recommend the 11 books that Adam Bergstrom has written on this. But basically, our bodies are filled with oxygen, light and heat. Our bodies are filled with oxygen, light, and heat. And so even if we put the most pristine oil into it, it immediately oxidizes. And I do have studies on that too. And so that's a problem because the marketing around a lot of these products are, you know, they're cold pressed, they're organic, whatever else, they're stone ground, you know, all the sort of words and labels. But what happens when you put that product into a body that's filled with oxygen, right? We're breathing with heat, we're 98.6 tropical environment inside, and light, you know, our bodies are constantly exposed to light of all kinds, whether it's from the sun or from indoor light. And so that light and all of those three examples, when an oil is put in, a pristine oil is put into that kind of a body, it immediately oxidizes. I do have studies on that. I just don't have them handy, but they're on my Instagram if anyone wants to.
No worries. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So it's just like nuance, you know, like ideally we should be able to consume those things. You know, it's like, there's a big debate right now over cod liver oil and, you know, is the huge amount of retinol that's in cod liver oil worth the benefit of the omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids? And my argument with doing it generally, until I'm proven wrong, I'm still studying this, but we have about, like, I have about 16,000 milligrams of iron in my body and I should have 5,000. And so in a body filled with iron overload, like my body has, I can't see the justification of putting polyunsaturated fatty acids into a body that's filled with that much iron. Because even with blood donations and copper and retinol, I can't get my iron down to 5,000, which is what it needs to be. So it's like, there's what should be and what our environment is. And then based, and then also on top of that, what our metabolic needs are at this stage in our life. And so all of those things together, I understand why people are like, throw their hands up and can't figure out what to eat. You know, I get it.
Did you see my question?
Oh, sorry, Dave. Yeah. What did you say? I think I mentioned a second ago, right? About dairy, was it?
No, it was about the longevity products, Tangy Tangerine and Osteo FX supplements.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what is, I don't know, what's the goal with taking it? Because I'm not familiar with, I'm familiar with longevity, but not that product.
Oh, okay. Well, it's got all the minerals and vitamins, you know, the 72, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I got it off of Dave Janda's website there. I don't know. I thought you might be familiar with it. So I don't have the bottle with next to me right now, so I can't tell you everything that's in it. So maybe I'll wait another time to ask the question.
You know, I'm familiar with longevity, and I'm familiar with Dr. Joe Wallach, of course. Just to be honest, I would be leery of that product, just going into it, but let me take a look at it. And, because a lot of times, like a lot of these people in the natural health field, I they're just not like, they're promoting all these things that are just really metabolically damaging to, in my opinion. So I hear it. I see it here. Let me look at it. The Osteo FX liquid, right? Tangy Tangerine.
I'm taking the powder and then the Tangy Tangerine powder.
Okay.
And then also a plant derived mineral that they have.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard. There's so many products out there that, it's hard to stay on top of them at all, but I wish I could see the ingredient list. Cause when I click on,
I wish I had,
there's a here. Link I'm there, Justin, program. You should find a link there with a PDF that'll download it. For just anecdotally speaking, to get the 90 essentials, I used, Longevity's products, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine now 2.5. I use the minerals, those are the items I use, and I use them successfully for the past 10 years, and very beneficial.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's when he was talking about too much vitamin D and all that. I was getting confused, I guess. When you're in a nursing home, it's hard to get anything out of the food. I mean, the food here is atrocious. It's nothing but carbohydrates and sugar.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm getting out of here in a week or so. I'm still in a wheelchair, but I'm going out on my own. I can't take it anymore. I got to cook for myself again and start eating right.
Good.
I've been in here over
for your success.
That's
thank awesome. You, sir. Yeah, thank you. I had a abscess on C4, had a staph infection, and then all of a sudden I couldn't walk. I haven't been able to walk for a year.
Oh man.
So
Dave, in your case, like there's nuance and context to everything, you know. And in your case, yeah. I would just do it. Like you know, you know, even if there's a couple things in there that are not the best for you, or if there's not, I mean, I'm not completely familiar with this particular product and I can't from their website see what's in there, but you know what? It's like one of those things where the body is so beautifully and wonderfully made, and we are so incredible to be able to overcome so much. And, you know, I honestly, like, you know, what's that guy, Hugh Hefner, you know, lived till he was 90 something years old, the Playboy guy doing,
right.
You know, I think he drank like 3 or 4 Cokes a day, you know, like,
yeah. How's that possible?
Right. And so, you know, health is way more than the food that we're eating. It's mindset. It's connection to ourselves. It's love for what we're doing. It's excitement. And so I honestly, I mean, there's all kinds of like the best food ever. And then there's like, you know, what you can do and what the body's.
Right. Have you ever heard of Dr. Peter Glidden?
I have. Yeah. Yeah.
That's who's recommended this. That's okay. Where I,
yeah. So just keep doing it, man. And just get out, take care of yourself. I wouldn't worry at all about any of that, you know?
All right. Yeah, all right, cool.
You're doing awesome. That's great. Appreciate so I see it. Leanne and Barbara had their hands up. I don't want to. Okay, Barbara. I think I asked to unmute you. Are you still there? Hopefully.
Oh, Paul. I am. Can I?
Oh, there's two Barbara G's.
Yeah, because I started off using my phone, which I can't seem to get the video.
That's one for each eye, Justin.
That's awesome.
So I'll just turn this off.
No worries. That's great. Okay. I'm glad I got you.
Yeah. My question is to do with how I can best improve my blood flow. The thing is that a few days ago, I had a really strange thing happen, and my left arm just, I don't know how to describe it. It just became really weak, and I couldn't really move it in smooth motions. It was kind of jerky motions. And it only lasted a few minutes. And I'd promised my daughter that if anything, any kind of health things or anything came up, that I would always tell her straight away. And so I told her, and she was really worried that I'd had a TIA. And I said, I don't think I have, but what I will do is I will drink a lot more water, and I will try and exercise a bit more, and I will be more consistent with my deep breathing, diaphragmatic breathing. But I just wanted to ask you what you would suggest to make sure that my blood is better than it maybe was.
Okay, so there's quite a few things to consider. What are you willing to do, and are you able to so what's your level of commitment? Are you able to do lots of things? Do you have time or the money to do this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. So there's always, it's like this, it's kind of like the same answer for everything, but it's making sure you're getting enough magnesium and getting on a magnesium.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So doing that, but making sure the water you're drinking is not devoid of minerals, because when you drink a lot of water that doesn't have minerals in it, it's going to strip minerals from your body. And so although that's good in a sense, because it's bringing more hydration to your body and making your blood more viscous, it's also stripping minerals from your body, which you need. So getting on a magnesium protocol is critical, absolutely critical. Multiple forms, multiple times during the day, supplements, transdermal, baths, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so doing that, I did a video in the Academy under the, I'll try to find a link really quickly about how to clean your blood, but B vitamins are really important for cleaning your blood. Mm-hmm. Let me find the video.
I do take magnesium several times a day. And what I wanted to do was get some oil so that I would have a different form to use and maybe use that before I go to bed.
Okay.
With regard to the water, I... what's it called? I can't think what the name of it is that I do with my water.
Reverse osmosis? Do you structure it?
No. I put the water in the machine and the machine purifies it. No, that's not the right word.
Alkalizes?
I know that it then has no minerals in it. So
okay. Yeah. So you probably
distill. I have a water ionizer.
Yeah, ionizer, distill it or something, right?
Distilling it. Oh yeah, distilling it. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so what I do is I usually put Himalayan pink salt in there.
Okay, you do a little salt?
Yeah, but I was also not sure what else I should do with regard to the minerals, because obviously when it's distilled, then it takes all the minerals out. So I need to get the minerals back in, and especially as you were saying, if you're drinking that kind of water, take the minerals out of your body.
Mm-hmm. So make sure if you're drinking distilled to add some minerals back into it if you can, like you're doing the sea salt. I would avoid the gray and the pink salts, because the pink, there's studies showing that it could be high in iron, because that's the red color or the pink color, and the gray a lot of times is excess aluminum and the salt. So the gray salts, the pink salts, just stick to a white sea salt.
Sea salt, okay.
And
what other minerals do you suggest that I add?
Well, there's different products you could get. Like there's one called Utah Sea Minerals that you can add to it. Sometimes I'll add that to mine. I'll add magnesium bicarbonate 1 ounce to 32 ounces of water. That's what I'll do. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do to remineralize: a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of apple cider vinegar, the sea salt, and doing those things. I add a little bit of methylene blue to my water, even though that's not minerals. It's a different substance altogether, but you know, and then I add also some whole food vitamin C powder, typically from, Health Force Nutritionals. That's where I get the powder for my water, and I'll add some whole food vitamin C powder to that. And between all those things, it's a nice little like salty lemon kind of taste. And it's a good way. So I drink 3 mason jars full of water per day. And that seems to work good. If I drink more than that, I'm up all night peeing. If I drink less than that, I feel dehydrated. I drink 1 immediately upon waking. And then the other 2, I drink before dinner, just, you know, throughout the day. Yeah. So just doing, you know, hydrating your water, if you can structure your water, that's a good thing. Carmen mentioned that in the chat room. That's a really good thing to do, because that helps the water get inside the cell. It creates a sort of a hexagonal crystalline structure that allows the cell or the water molecules to get inside the cell, which is where you want to be hydrated. So there's like the Vitalizer Plus. There's one from Shen Blossom that will structure your water. I don't do that right now because I think that's pretty far down on the list, you know, for me. Those devices can be pretty expensive. But just making sure you're getting your magnesium, drinking your mineral rich water, doing those two things alone, I think, I mean, there's other things you can do that are known to clean up the blood, like PEMF, you know, that helps to oxygenate the blood. But just doing simple things, I think, is the way to go, because a PEMF device could cost you, you know, 6-7 grand. But you know, why do that when you could just
do that
through the water? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have been noticing that I was feeling dehydrated a lot of the time. And so my goal was to drink more water. And I wasn't actually increasing the amount of water I was doing. I had good intentions and I wasn't actually doing it. And so when this, whatever it was, happened, I suppose it was kind of a bit of a wake up call. And I thought, well, I really must do more. So I am aiming for 3 liters a day, and I'm getting to 2.5 at least anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And I do feel much better for it. So I was only drinking, I know it's not a huge difference, but I was probably only drinking about 2 liters, and mm-hmm. it, for whatever reason, wasn't enough. You know, I was feeling dehydrated.
Yeah. And definitely if you do things like sauna therapy, you know, that helps with the blood as well. For a lot of reasons. I mean, it's sauna therapy is great, but you also deplete your minerals when you sweat like that. And so it's important to remineralize. You know, so, something else I would do if I were you too, is the adrenal cocktail. I recommend that for everyone, no matter what, no matter how healthy they are, if they're 12, if they're 50, if they're 70, the adrenal cocktail should be a foundation. Are you doing that?
No, I don't know what it is.
Okay. So
I think I've heard you mention it before, and I've probably written something down, but
it's super simple. It's super simple. So you do, it's, ideally you do 2 of them a day, but you know, right now I have twin boys. I could only do 1 a day. I'm too busy, but it's 4 ounces of coconut water and it's 4 ounces of orange juice. Just don't be neurotic about it. You know, if you can juice the oranges, even better, but just do the best you can with the orange juice.
Yep.
Ideally pulp free, but if you can't do it, don't sweat it.
Yeah.
4 ounces of each of those. And then 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt. And it's weird. It's like this sweet, but salty flavored drink, slightly salty because of the sea salt, but that will balance your minerals, allow you to absorb magnesium, but it also supports your adrenal glands. And your adrenal glands make more hormones per day than your thyroid does. So it's really important to support that gland, those glands. And that is a really great, super easy thing to do. You can buy the orange juice. You can buy the coconut water at the store. You already have salt. All you got to do is take 2 minutes and make it.
Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah, and you can magnesium. There's 3 kinds, isn't there, that are okay to take. Is that right?
Yeah, there's lots of kinds. The kinds to avoid, I think, are the oxide, because that's not very well absorbed. The citrate is also not very well absorbed. It also screws up ceruloplasmin and copper levels, the citrate does. And then there's 1 or 2 more. But basically, the ones I do are bicarbonate, glycinate, malate, and threonate in supplemental form. And then I'll do a bath. The baths I usually only do in the winter, you know, because for me, taking a bath in summer is too hot. But the chloride or the sulfate in your bath is you know, kind of what I do, and adding that to your bath. You could add some boron to that, some borax powder, some, what's that? Bob's Red Mill. What is that stuff called? Oh, it changes the pH. I forget. It's the baking powder. You can put some baking powder and some borax and magnesium in your bath, and that will help you too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do those things, I think you're going to notice big results.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot going on. You're supporting, you're balancing your sodium potassium ratios. You're increasing your magnesium. You're getting trace minerals from your water. You're doing extra magnesium in your bath. You'll start noticing some big differences, I think, if you do that for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
At least I have. So,
yeah, I mean, just increasing the amount of water that I've been drinking has made a difference. So.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Barbara times 2. Leanne, I think.
Are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, perfect. Yes, totally.
Okay. I have a quick question. Would you have any idea? I mean, I've talked about my crazy health issues on here lots of times, but would you have any idea, or anyone on here, what would cause like a rust colored pigment on the insides of my ankles? It's been getting darker. and bigger, and now it's on the other inside of my other ankle, and it's just crazy.
So it's a rust colored pigment?
Yes.
Okay. So that most likely, without looking at it, I can't obviously diagnose anything, but
right.
My guess is that that completely ties. If you type in lipofuscinosis or yellow fat disease and into Google Images, you'll see people with those types of pigments on their hands. They're different colors. Sometimes they're like more yellow. Sometimes they're more brown. Sometimes they're rust. Sometimes they're darker, like a purple kind of thing. But all of that is a synergistic.
It's almost so rusty. Yeah. Rusty and kind of almost purple.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I it's not medical advice or anything like that. So you
probably
want to get it checked out, but my guess would be, like no matter what label a doctor puts on it or what it actually is, the cause mm-hmm. of it is going to be iron overload with polyunsaturated fatty acid oxidation. And that stuff synergizes all throughout the body and it just shows up in your skin. And like I mentioned before, for everyone in your skin, you have over 1,000 in your organs. So it's really important.
And I have spots on my hands. I do. Mm-hmm. I have had for a few years and yeah. I'm not that old. So, but my question on that is I've been following the RCP, but I just don't seem to be getting any progress. Is there anything that, because all the inflammation and everything, it'll abate for a little while, a few weeks, then it just comes back really strong again. And I've got inflammation all over where I can hardly walk. And, but I just don't seem to be making any headway. I don't know. I'm following it. And the only thing I don't do is the cod liver oil. And I don't know if maybe that's important or not, but I'm of the mindset that I don't think that's really best. So.
Yeah. You know what? I'm in the process right now of studying the cod liver oil, the non-fermented kind right now. And so like I said before, in a body filled with iron overload, it doesn't make sense to me to do that, but I'm all for people researching, studying and experimenting on themselves. And so in your case, maybe give cod liver oil a chance. The Rosita brand seems to be like the most, I think the best, or like Larry mentioned before, one from Jigsaw Health that I think Morley recommends. But are you doing the blood donations as well?
I have been able to recently for probably over a year because of COVID, but I do have an appointment to go in 2 weeks to go to just a phlebotomy draw from my natural doctor's office. So,
okay. So
that'll be good. I'm glad to be able to do that.
So just like those things are so key, like making sure you're getting enough retinol in and you're lowering your iron, because all the other things, like in the RCP protocol, if you were to just not do those two things, that's probably like 80% of what someone's progress would be. And then the other 20% is all the other things that he talks about that are really great, but they all have to be worked on together. But if you've been unable to do a blood draw, that's going to be massive, because that the only way to get rid of excess iron is through blood donation. And so, I mean, you could do it with other things like supplements, like lactoferrin. I think Larry shared a couple things, but you know, the blood draw is like the fire hose, you know, of that. So, it's really important to make sure that you can do that and be on a regular blood donation program.
Okay, I'm going to do that. So hopefully that'll be the key.
Yeah, because you can offload a ton of iron. I forget how many milligrams of iron are in a standard blood donation. I used to remember the number, but you're also reactivating and restarting they call it the reticuloendothelial system, which is what Morley says. It's a fancy way of saying your iron recycling system. And for that to be activated, certain enzymes have to be working, like ferroportin has to allow iron to get out of the cell, and copper is the only thing that opens that up. And so if you don't have enough copper coming in, or if you don't have enough vitamin A retinol activating that copper, ferroportin won't open up and it won't allow iron to get out of the cell. And that means it's stuck in your tissues. So by doing regular blood donation, you're sort of forcing that process to happen. And so it's really important to make sure that you're following the program if you can all the way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to let maybe that be
through. Yeah, and what Larry mentioned too. Thank you. Yeah, no worries, no worries. And what Larry mentioned in the chat room was to consult with an RCP consultant. And you could do that on his website, rcp123.org. And those people are like specifically trained, you know, for this whole program. So mm-hmm. I hope that helps, Leanne.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, Anthony, sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
I'm sorry, man.
A couple of comments. On the minerals, I used to take a product. It's called Gold Stake, S-T-A-K-E.
Uh-huh.
And it's a mineral they got out of the old gold mine.
Okay. So
pretty natural. And I think it's pretty good. I think I should go back on it. And the other thing is, as far as the fish that... she was eating. It should be line caught. No farm raised or even regular fish that are not line caught, because they're hanging around the fake fish, and they're picking up all the poisons and drift off of the water. It's terrible. And Dr. Mercola just had another article 2 days ago. Really surprised me. It's poison. It's the worst product you can eat. And he's pretty clever.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, you just got to be very careful about the fish, not just because of the mercury and heavy metal, but the polyunsaturated fatty acid that no one's talking about. Barely anybody's talking about. You just got to be very careful with that stuff. Okay, so Vicky asked for the Health Force vitamin C powder that I add to my water. And I just added that. Ah, Paul, each time you donate blood, you lose between 220 and 250 milligrams of iron. Okay, great. Thanks, Paul, for that. That's great. Very important. Plus, you kickstart that RES system. Okay, so Mr. Bill... Oh, Corey wanted to know more about the fish. So it's the polyunsaturated fatty acids in the fish that are the problem. That's why I don't recommend fish oil. But basically, those omega-3 fats in the fish are like antifreeze. And so it allows fish to live in cold water and allows the fat inside the fish to be liquid at cold temperatures. And so that's the fat that's typically like liquid at room temperature, even like any fat that's liquid at room temperature, you got to be very careful, because that stuff is going to be, it's going to oxidize once it's inside your body. So Bill said, would I be able to donate blood at age 69? For sure. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I forgot there's a couple studies showing that people who donate blood live longer with less disease as well. Donating blood should be on a regular thing. So the kind of recommendation is 4 times a year for a man. So I do it at the change of every season, which will be in about 10 more days for me. And then premenopausal women twice a year, because they have a regular monthly cycle, and then postmenopausal women 4 times a year, like men. So Larry said he's 72, does it 4 times a year. Perfect. Nice. Yeah. So I do it at the change of every season. That way it makes me, you know, just, okay. You know, it's winter moving into spring, and you know, it's spring, you know, today's the first day of spring. I know I need to go, you know, donate blood. So
do you have seasons in California?
I joke with my wife. It's like the sun just sets a little bit earlier. That's it. It's a little bit colder, but not much. My wife misses seasons. So we just went up to the snow. So that was kind of fun. Put our little twin boys down on the snow. That was really fun. Okay. So let me get, Mr. Bill.
Yeah, right there? Here.
Cool.
Yes. Awesome. I talked to you a couple weeks ago regarding the, having a condition on my neck. And they did a, ultrasound, and now my doctor's doing the due to the feedback they got from the radiologists and looking at the ultrasound, they want to do a biopsy. And I'm always concerned about biopsies because I've heard they, if there is a cancerous issue, it could cause it even to be worse.
Mm-hmm.
That was my one. And I also went and had that live blood test at Dr. Bergman's office. And okay. it looked pretty good. And he gave me the gentleman there recommended a bunch of, supplements and different things. I'm doing a lymph cleanse.
Nice.
But what's your understanding as far as biopsies and other suggestions you might have?
Okay, so just so
not prescribing anything, just what you know.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. So we had a guy on our show. He's been on our show a couple times. Great guy, Dr. Stephen Hines, and he has a clinic in Texas, San Angelo, Texas, and he said something to me on our show that was just fascinating. And so this might kind of shed some light on what you have going on there in your neck, Bill. So he was talking about, I think in relation to breast cancer, but he said this has happened in his clinic multiple times with different types of cancers. And what he was saying was that many times when people get a diagnosis or a biopsy, they never run. There's two tests they can run. They always run. It's a cancer test. And there's another sort of test. I forget the name of this thing because it's, you know, medical terminology, but it's basically a test to find out if it's a fungus or if it's cancer. And the hospitals will never test for fungus ever because there's a lot of money in cancer. And he was saying that what happens is that he's taken like, I think he said like 60 to 70% of the women who are diagnosed with breast cancer and put them on high dose IV antifungals, and their tumor or whatever it was they had going on completely just went away. And so what he was saying was that they don't want to test for if something is a fungus or not, because there's no money in that. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars if it's a tumor. And so what he was saying was, well, why when he put his patients, you know, this patient was saying, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, right? And I got a biopsy and it's breast cancer. And then he would put them on high dose IV antifungal and it would go away. So he was.
You're breaking up. I lost you.
That happens to him sometimes.
Thought it was me.
I just wanted to throw that out there, Bill.
Lost half of what you said.
Lost yeah, you half. Went blank there, Justin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I still there?
You're on now.
Okay. So basically, it could be a fungus. It may not even be a tumor at all.
Is there a supplemental antifungal they're talking doing high. He gave me high doses of vitamin C, and I'm also taking lymph cleanses and the grapefruit seed extracts and
okay
high dose of he's got and when a high dose of omega-3 which I always thought you can get the omega-3 from a plant base as well as fish.
And so Bill, just so I understand what's going on, it's a lump on your neck that they think may be cancerous, but they don't know, right?
Yeah, and the thing is it's affected my, because I thought I had TMJ when I would chew and it gets extreme, hurts my right ear. I mean, I have like head congestion.
Uh-huh.
And, it's the, since I've been doing the lymph cleanse and everything, the swelling's gone down and, you know, things are easier to chew. I still got the little bit of pain, but not like it was.
Now, are you doing rebounding?
I walk a lot. I mean, okay. I do over 10,000 steps a day through with the work I do. So I do plenty of rebounding through my work.
Yeah. So if you're able to get a little mini trampoline, that would be huge for you. You can get them for $50 at Walmart or something.
Yeah.
If you're able to do that, that would be, I think, a big help, because your lymphatic system is massive when it comes to, because right around your neck and your armpits and in your groin all makes sense where you have massive amounts of lymph nodes, right? And like, let's say you get a cut on your hand, the lymph nodes in your, in the same hand that you got cut on, the lymph nodes in your armpit are going to swell up because there's toxins that could be in that cut that you need to protect your vital internal organs. And so that's why your lymph nodes are going to bear that burden. And so, okay. Carmen is taking off. Great to see you, Carmen. Appreciate you being here. Yeah, this recording is going to be recorded. It'll be available in the members only podcast. And in about a month, the video will be on the website as well. But so you could have an infection going on in your hands where, or in your head, or maybe even in your mouth. You could have a dental amalgam filling where your body is swelling a lymph node in your neck to protect your heart from that, from those toxins. So it could be something as simple as like a mercury filling or a cavitation or a root canal. That happens quite a bit.
Yeah, I had a thermal that Dr. B does, and he had mentioned that too. So I've been talking to Biodental, see what we can do there.
Good, 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 good. So yeah, lymphatic cleansing and cleansing your lymphatic system would be huge. You can do topical DMSO, which is what I would recommend as well, and red light therapy. That would be a great thing to do topically. And you can even do like a acute form of PEMF therapy directed right to your neck. That might be helpful as well. And there's other topicals you could do too, but DMSO would be something that I would look heavily at applying topically. And so doing those things, red light therapy, and then internally doing the lymph cleanses, drinking your water, you know, making sure you're getting your minerals and doing your rebounding. If you can do a far infrared sauna, a sweating session, that would be helpful.
Talking about an infrared sauna, or are you talking just a regular heat sauna?
Infrared is always the best. I like far infrared. So I'd recommend that.
What's that called?
Just far infrared. Because the light of it's really a light session, because far infrared is really is just light penetrating your body. And what that does is it helps to activate your lymph system, but it also helps cleanse your blood, purify your blood. It helps to detoxify fat. You know, the chemicals that our fat stores hold onto, environmental toxins, it helps release all of that out into the bloodstream and eventually your kidneys and through your urine. So, so that's a really, really important thing to do if you can. A PEMF session might be something, or a SOTA magnetic pulsar I might consider getting. That's a PEMF device that you can get. I would use that. And then antifungals, you know, there's all kinds of antifungals you could do as well. But I'm just wondering if you have any questions on that stuff so far.
Oh, no, it's good to look at and investigate more. I'm open to do anything I can. I'm just concerned about having a biopsy coming in and causing causing more havoc.
Yeah. So obviously, like we mentioned, not medical advice. If it were me, I wouldn't get a biopsy. I would do all of those things, support your body, lower your stress, in as many ways as you can, support yourself and start taking massive action on radical self-care. And once you start doing that, I think for a period of time, you're going to see that go down. I mean, like you could also add in things like regular chiropractic. I'd make sure you have no dental issues going on. But doing all those things, I think, would help a lot. And if it were me, I wouldn't get a biopsy. I would continue doing that, this kind of stuff. And there's antifungals too, that I don't have memorized right now, but if you tag me in the forums, I can relay those to you.
I'll touch base with, can I email you later on something, a question regarding getting into the website? Cause I've had technical issues getting into the, into the website.
Sure, sure, sure. Let me put my email here. This is my sort of email that I use, and then I can help you out. Just at extremehealthradio.com. So that's my email. And then I can see what your screen name is or whatever, and I can help you get into the website and make sure it's working for you. Great. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
Well, you guys have a good day. God bless.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill.
All right. God bless.
You too. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. Is there anything, Leanne, want to know, does Farnfra do the same thing to ourselves as far as lipofuscin? I don't know of any research that far infrared light minimizes lipofuscinosis, but I could look into that. Isla, I saw you had your hand up, dude. How are you, man?
My man, thanks a lot. Yeah, just had a quick update. Just wanted to. It's been a while. I was back in the States for about like 2 weeks, and nice. Unfortunately, stepdad, he had some heart issues and then passed. But you know, it could be related to. The whole, you know what I mean? My belief is for the jabby jab. So,
oh wow,
yeah. It's out of nowhere, guys. A bodybuilder, strong, everything else, healthy, and dropped out of a heart attack. Actually, complications during surgery. Man. But the other thing is, remember my son? He had the diabetes type 1. Mm-hmm. So you know, the doctors had him do another check just to see his status, and they're like scratching their heads right now. They can't figure out. They're saying that he's got now type 2 or like pre-diabetic, so it's kind of like reversed it, and they're like, we have no idea how that happened.
Really?
But remember, I put him on strict, like, you know what I mean, high fat, low carb, practically keto diet. You know, he was eating a lot of that stuff, so they're just like, that type 1 usually not reverse, is irreversible, but you know, they're calling pre-diabetic, and he barely gets any insulin now, you know.
So that's so really great cool. to hear. So it sounds really cool. to me like maybe his pancreas is turning back on or something.
Yeah. That's awesome. What it is. Yeah, exactly. And because we weren't doing so many, I feel like the diets that they gave us was kind of like high carb, which forces you to get the insulin shot. Because we were making him do keto, he wasn't getting a lot of insulin shots. His pancreas is forced to go back to work. And that just kind of, and that's working.
Wow. Yeah, that's so amazing what kids, their bodies are so quick to adapt and to respond and to change. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I interrupt to ask how old the youngin is there, Alia?
Yeah, he is 6 years old.
Say that one more time.
Six.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great, Isla. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So
and keep doing what you're doing, and maybe things will reverse all the way, you know?
Exactly. Just kind of keep going.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see on the quick update.
And how are things in the DR? Are you still there? Let's see. Oh, question. I think he's gone. Okay.
Maybe it tells you how things are in the DR.
Yeah, I live in now in the Dominican Republic. All right. Yeah. So Sixtus in the thing had a question, but if you want to ask, we'll probably be wrapping it up here pretty soon. So yeah, feel free to let me know.
I just wanted to ask you, are any of these calls being recorded?
They are, and they are available. The audio, we put the audio versions in the members only podcast, and you can get a link to that from the dashboard page. And then the video will be on the website in about a month or a month and a half. So the audio is available like within a couple weeks.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and make sure to save the chat links too.
How do we get into the members only area?
I'll put a link to it. There's a link right on the dashboard page to the members only podcast. And, okay. And all you have to do is put your name and email address in, and it should automatically, give you access to that.
Okay. Well, I thought I am a member, but, because I do get your information every week. So okay. Make sure you get on the call. So,
okay. So here's a link in the chat room right there to the members only podcast. So basically the podcast, the audio version for this kind of stuff and for our courses, we make everything available audio. It's only available if your membership is active. So if you pause it or cancel, you'll get no new, audio versions of things, but, as a member, you get access to it, but you just have to put your name and email address in, and then it'll automatically give you instructions on how to add it to your iPhone or to whatever phone you listen to podcasts on. So
wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been a great session.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. I try to do research because I want to bring new information, you know, and I do a lot of research, and I'm trying to, you know, offer as much helpful information to you guys as possible. And a lot of times I try to focus on information that is kind of against the grain, or, you know, I call it alternative health information, you know? And so hopefully it's helpful for you guys.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this every Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And telling all my friends about it too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And my daughter. Absolutely.
Yeah. I try to, you know, constantly researching, always, learning new things. And, you know, for those that are interested, areas of research that are interesting to me and that I want to get into is carbon dioxide. I don't know if you guys have heard about carbon dioxide baths. You know, that's something that's an area of health that you can research that. And that's an area of research that I'm going to be diving into. I'm really interested in light therapy and mitochondrial function and oxidation. And when you get to the root cause of these things and how the body actually works, then you can lower your chance of getting diseases. It's amazing. And really all it is being tied to nature more. But yeah, research carbon dioxide baths. And you wouldn't believe what will come up and people reversing catastrophic diseases with that. So
now that's not being shot with a CO2 fire extinguisher, is it?
No, it's cold. Wild. So there's people out there. So if you go to Promo Life, so like with this area of interest, I know just enough to be harmful. Okay. But you can go to Promo Life and get a full body ozone bag, and that you can get inside. It's like a trash bag, but it's clear and it's nice and it's something reusable and it's a nice bag, but it closes up all the way around you, and you can take a bath with CO2, and you wouldn't believe what people are talking about, what that does to the body. Cause people think in the mainstream health, it's, oh, CO2 is bad, oxygen is good, when in reality it's the opposite. Yeah, there's just a lot of cool stuff out there that I'm really passionate about, and I want to share some of that stuff with you guys, and hopefully it's helpful. Yeah.
Okay. Just listen to your podcast. How about the light? Light's more important. You had the same guest once again, and it was incredible to hear that. Well, what he was just, you know, it just goes down to the mitochondria at the end of the day. And
that's which one was that? I forget. Was that
Fredman? It was about light. It was about mitochondria. What he's been saying it for 15 years, and everyone thought he was going. They weren't listening to him.
Yeah, I know. It's fascinating because, you know, I think for me, like when I get on, you know, into this stuff, you get really crazy about food and diet and all this kind of biohacking kind of stuff. But when you realize like light impacts our brain, 42% of our brain is wired to light and only 6% is tied to food, which is crazy, right? So like all the food that we eat gets turned into electrons, doesn't get turned into fatty acids, or doesn't get turned into, carbohydrates. It eventually gets down and turns into electrons. And so we're photoelectric beings. And so when you get into all that stuff, you realize like food is important, but man, it's not that important when it comes to how your mitochondria actually functions. And so that's why I like to kind of get out of the dietary dogma, the disciplines of all this kind of stuff, and just returning to nature and keeping it simple, you know? So I like
and even
that.
Locally, he was saying that how important it is that you eat local, because like he was giving an example of avocado that's grown in one place and it gets imported, and you know, and then you eat a cucumber, and like the cucumber could be more fattening because your body can't even break it down and just converts it.
Yeah, it's weird because it's wild because it makes sense. You know, we have, for some reason, we have photoreceptors in our gut. And so like, why do photoreceptors in our gut, like why is there light tied to that? And I guess that puts some information on why it's important to eat local in season, because like, you know, eating a banana in New York in the middle of winter doesn't make sense. Because that banana is capturing photons from the sun from some other part of the world in some other different time of the year. And so when you consume that, you're creating circadian mismatches and you're creating, it's like wearing sunglasses. You're blocking the sun from your eyes, but you're telling your skin it's the middle of the day. And so the more times we disconnect from nature, creating these circadian mismatches, or throws our whole circadian rhythms off. And so it makes sense.
And isn't phosphorus a luminescent element?
Yeah, and so is, I think, copper as well.
Glows in the dark, as it were.
Yeah.
Hence its name, phosphorus.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? So cool. Corey says, wouldn't plants be important to eat then because it's capturing light? Yeah, so all food captures light. I don't know if you guys heard the show we did with Adam Bergstrom last month or last week, but we did a show about vitamin D, and he was talking about putting food in the sun to get vitamin D into the food. So whenever food is exposed to the sun, it's capturing photons from that sun, the energy of it. And so when we eat that, we're really just eating light. So he's
okay with that form, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So he's okay with consuming it from food or getting it from the sun, but taking pill form, he's not a fan of. And I agree with him on that one.
Yeah, you take mushrooms, you put them out in the sun, and mushrooms will absorb the vitamin D, increases the vitamin D content by putting mushrooms in the sun.
You know what's crazy is that he said the same thing about any food. He said you can put a bowl of pasta in the sun. I was like, what? And he said, yeah, there's studies showing that. He goes into all this like research that no one ever looks into, and it's amazing.
Right before you eat it? Right, so it kind of captures and holds it, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he says that you know, like 20 minutes in the sun, but you know, I'm not going to put my food in the sun for 20 minutes. You know, I just don't have that kind of time. You know how it is with young kids, you got to eat, you know, I'm not going to do that, but I just thought it was interesting, you know.
Yeah, you get your sun from the workouts, you do your workouts outdoors, so
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I got my workout. I got my vitamin D lamp if I need it, but you don't need it in the DR. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do your workouts outside. Linda said there's so much controversy in theory, reliable sources. I'm overwhelmed determining what may be valid and appropriate. Yeah, Linda, I agree with you. It's there's a lot of contradictory information. And when you get into natural health, you feel like you have you found your tribe, right? Because we're anti the medical industry and want to do the natural thing. But you realize like when you get into the natural world, it's completely opposite. There's camps that disagree. And so because of that, I think the only thing to do is to do your research and experiment and see what works for you. And go from there and be willing to change, you know, if you have ideas. For a long time, I promoted vitamin D. I thought fish oil was great. And then I learned other information that said the otherwise. I'm just glad I didn't sell it, or I didn't, you know, don't have an ego to the extent where I can't admit I'm wrong. You know, if I'm wrong about something, I'll just change my mind. It doesn't matter. But I hear what you're saying, Linda, totally. Do the white wake up lights work? I live in Pacific Northwest, long dark winters. I don't know. I'd have to look at the light, Corey, that you're looking at and see what kind of frequency it's emitting. But generally you want to get outside the first thing when you wake up and expose your body, whether it's dark and rainy and cold. You want to make sure you're exposing your body to the natural frequencies of the sun, to get that UV light on you. And if you're worried about that, I would get a SPRT vitamin D lamp instead of taking vitamin D. You can get those online. They're like $400 or $500, I think, but well worth it. better to get vitamin D from a light source than, because when you take it from a light source, you're allowing your body to integrate it the way it's supposed to be integrated through your skin. We're never meant to supplement what the sun's supposed to do through our gut and forcing it down a certain pathway. So, all right. Okay. I think
before you go, I have an anecdote just as a report from my former wife who suffered that heart attack back near Veterans Day and had a triple bypass.
Uh-huh.
She put her glasses on and she was fuzzy eyed, and she went and got an exam and her eyes improved from 20/60 to 20/40.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Strange stuff. Interesting. Wow. Better circulation and oxygenation is my guess.
Yeah. But
anyway, just wanted to report that, and she's doing well and recovering at home down in North Carolina.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Because my understanding that the brain and your eyes, which are an extension of your brain, require tons of oxygen to work right. Real quick before we leave, Bobby, I wanted to know how your son is, dude, with the remineralization of his teeth.
Hey, Justin. Yeah. So this is probably one of the hard parts about parenting is, you know, there's like give and take, and you know, I tried my method of trying to remineralize his teeth. It didn't quite work. I got a second opinion on the x-rays. And so right now we're going to go ahead and move forward with some of those fillings. I'm not excited about it. I know the arguments on both sides. I ordered the book, actually got it in the mail yesterday.
Nice.
That we talked about last week. But I think at this point I'm going to focus on his adult teeth and trying to figure out how this happened to begin with and how to prevent it from happening to his adult teeth and kind of start fresh there.
Okay.
Kind of a bummer, cause I really would like to give it a little bit more time, but he's starting to feel some pain in some of his teeth. And I just don't want to see my son in pain.
I hear you, dude. Cause you know, I have twins that are almost four now. And like, it's, I know what you mean, because there's like the ideal of what you want to do and what should be going right for you, but it doesn't work. And so you just kind of have to give in sometimes. But in those cases, I always just default to like, you know what, God's got this, you know, like everything's going to be fine. When he's 45, 50 years old, he won't even know this happened.
True.
And you know, he'll be good, you know?
So, I mean, we're going to do the fillings on Monday, early Monday morning. They're going to sedate them, which I'm not excited about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're staying away from the silver. We're staying away from gold. So, you know, I'm doing the more expensive, can't remember what it's called. It's not porcelain, but it's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean.
The hard stuff, the white
so
stuff.
So, are you going to go to a biological dentist then?
We're going to try to get established with one later. I reached out to that clinic in Mexico. They don't see children at all.
Okay.
My wife reached out to a couple and same deal. Unless you're established with one, they won't see your kid.
I see.
So
I see.
It's that, and that's, and dentists are on pretty much every street corner, but the biological dentists aren't.
Yeah, I know. It's like a good chiropractor, right? They're hard to find.
So you really got to search them out. And you know what? I should have done this back in October, November, and I didn't. I reached out to a doc, and I don't fault them at all. The clinic's out of Michigan, and I think they've done a fantastic job. But you know, they don't specialize in dentistry, and you know, they gave me some supplements, and we tried them, and for whatever reason, he just didn't absorb them like we thought he was going to, and we gave it ample time. And so, yeah, that's where we're at.
Okay. So, well, I'll be praying for him. That's this. When is he going to have it done?
Monday. Dude, I appreciate it. I mean, anybody that prays for anybody or says that they're going to pray for him, that goes so far. That's more valuable than cash, in my opinion.
It's, I don't know. I think there's so many levels to health, and there's all the physical things you could do. There's all the spiritual, emotional things. There's all those light, water, magnetism, biohacking, and all the stuff and detox. But, you know, sometimes you just need someone to just say, I'll pray for your kid, you know? And, you know, at the end of the day, God's got this, you know, He probably won't even remember this. And once, you know, maybe, you know, this gives you some time to figure out what the root cause is. You can read that book and make sure it doesn't happen again with his adult teeth and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I, you know, I really appreciate the prayers probably more than anything else. And, And you know, we've gone a long way to try to keep toxins out of his life. Like I said, I haven't done the fluoride. We haven't done any vaccines. You know, I mean, I'm one of the few people where I'm at that are just, you know, I'm totally against them just because of what they do to kids. And it shows everywhere we took our kid last week in Texas. They're like, he's only four and he just turned four and he can talk this well. And like, he's having full on conversations with us. He's arguing, he's asking questions. And, you know, I don't want to lose that with him over some dental fillings.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my big concern there. So, but I don't think that'll happen. Like I said, we're staying away from the silver that still contain the mercury and stuff like that. So,
you know, what's crazy is that, I mean, I know you know this, but I mean, like, you know, I was grew up on iron rich foods and terrible fatty acid oils and all the toxic stuff. And
I was mercury, milk and cereal every morning. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Mercury I fillings. Take it back. Yeah. All that stuff, vaccines, mercury fillings. And you know what? Somehow we're here. So the fact that you're doing what you're doing, even though you're getting a filling, like, he's going to be fine. He'll be fine. You know? So that's, I'm glad, dude. I mean,
you'll be good, Bob. Bobby, you'll be good, man. Don't worry. You know what I mean? I went through a whole thing with my kid, and like I said, the prayers and just, you know, that intention that Justin always talks about, we'll be fine. You know what I mean? I had 12 fillings. I had to go to the dentist one time. I had 12, and I'm good, man. He'll be all right.
I've had a few myself, but they were in my adult years, you know. So, yeah. And I wasn't four. Yeah. And you know, I guess the biggest thing for me is I feel like I failed as a parent. I felt like I did something wrong that my son got these cavities, you know? And, you know, we don't give him sugar. I don't give him suckers. He doesn't drink fruit juices that are fortified with sugar. You know, like the juices he gets are typically something I'll, like if I get like fresh squeezed orange juice or apple juice, I'm not giving him. I mean, he drinks mostly water. So I don't know what it is. It might be in the breads or grains or something that we're giving them. So that's something I need to look into.
Don't blame yourself, man. Cause I felt that when my son got diabetes, I was like, man, we should have watched him, you know, watched the babysitter was feeding him like, you know, sweets and stuff. But at the end of the day, it doesn't help anything. It just makes you feel like crap, you know? So
yeah,
cheer up. You'll be okay.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I'll be praying for you and for him, and it'll go good, dude. And like, you know, we made it through. God knows what we did to ourselves as kids. You know, he'll be fine. You know, like, and this, like I said, this gives you an opportunity to kind of like do some more research and kind of figure out what's going on, because once his adult teeth come in, you can have more of a chance to have time to figure that out, and you know, so.
Yeah, and that's the big thing right now is I'm just looking at his adult teeth going, how do we keep those healthy? So
my sense in this is that because you do so many things right, and you have done so many things right, like not vaccinate them and, you know, all the things that you said you're doing, it sounds to me like these things happen for some grander purpose, you know, and for you to figure out what, you know, there's some deeper spiritual, you know, God kind of a thing. And so I have a feeling that that's what this is about, you know, and figuring out what the lesson and the plan is, and figuring out what that is the ultimate lesson, you know.
I'll keep that perspective in mind.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate it. I didn't expect you guys to still be on it at noon here. I got caught a couple calls and we were about to go on another one. It's just hard when I'm at work to try to stay on this thing, but maybe next Friday.
I hear you. Yeah. We just went long. We've been going for 2.5 hours. So I'm going to wrap it up now, but, I'm glad you came on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up, and let me know. I'll be on next Friday at 9 a.m. And then Dr. Bergman's going to be, he'll be live on Sunday. It's always the third Sunday of the month. So
the 20th.
This month, the 20th at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Is it daylight savings where you're at? You guys switch clocks forward, don't you?
Yeah. You're in Arizona, right? So you
don't. Yeah, so I don't switch.
Oh, that's right.
It'll be an hour earlier.
Okay.
If you go to an Indian reservation, you can switch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, we switched this Sunday, I think, or Saturday night.
That's correct.
All right. Cool, guys.
Save the chat. And I thank you for your labor of love, Justin. It may not seem much to you, but it's a lot to us. And I'm very grateful just from my perspective.
Well, thank you for chiming in, and you fill in so many gaps for me because you do a ton of research. So I appreciate that. And I'll see you guys next week.
God bless.
All right. Yeah, love you guys.